You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Learn more at wearelibertarians.com.
Oh, the Johnny Rocket Launchpad is liberty. Each week, we strive to bring you the best guests in talk radio. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad delivers weekly interviews of noteworthy politicians, experts, and activists. The Johnny Rocket Launchpad is bringing the party to the Libertarian Party and launching ideas in your direction. Check us out at johnnyrocketlaunchpad.com. You can hear me, Kurt Nelson, and the beautiful Heather Nixon talk about the ideas of liberty. Rock and roll.
Hey there, Liberty lovers. This is Mark Clare of the Lions of Liberty podcast, where we strive to bring you great conversations about the ideas of liberty 3 days a week, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Check us out at lionsofliberty.com.
Hey guys, this is Roger Paxton, and if you're fed up with the government running every single aspect of your life, but you're not listening to the Lava Flow podcast yet, then what's wrong with you? Check us out at thelavaflow.com, or just go back to sucking up to the government. The Lava Flow podcast, striking the root every single episode.
We are supported by listeners like you. Donate per month or make a one-time donation through PayPal or Patreon at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about our advertisers for this episode. First is Liberty Valiance with Zach Haval. Imagine if Louder with Crowder and the Jason Stapleton program had a kid. That kid would be Liberty Valiance with Zach Haval. Zach Haval is the millennial voice of the Liberty Movement, and he explores current events using basic libertarian principles of limited government, individualism, and free markets through the use of comically bad impressions and sketches. Check him out on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or at LibertyValiance.com. That is Liberty, VALIANCE.com. Thank you so much for being a sponsor and supporting us. And if you like this show, you'll like Zach's show. In the background, as I'm doing the ad reads, everyone's showing each other memes, trying to throw me off. Second sponsor is our friends at 812 Farms. And I want to say thank you to the listeners of We Are Libertarians, because you guys have really shown a lot of support for 812 Farms. This is a guy that our buddy Aaron came to me and said, I'd like to advertise my hops farm with you guys. And I said, listen, the intersection of people who are brewers and who are brewmasters, I don't know what they might be called, but it's probably not a lot of crossover. And he said, no, I love the show. I want to support you guys. And they sell to homebrewers too. And since they started advertising on this podcast, several people have gone and bought hops from 812 Farms in Columbus, Indiana. And a lot of people like their Facebook page. So we'd love for you guys to go like their Facebook page. 812 Farms is located in Columbus, Indiana. They supply homebrewers and commercial breweries with locally grown hops. In the process of getting a destination brewery started in Bartholomew County, they're going to have a wedding venue. It's going to be a whole destination. They're going to have an event center, a restaurant, an indoor hydroponics vegetable garden, overnight lodging. They're planning a lot of cool things out at 812 Farms, so please like their Facebook page. And if you're a home brewer, get in touch with them. For now, they do hop sales and beer infusion events with bars. And if you're in the Indianapolis area, you can go to the tap on Mass Ave and try Permafrost, an India Pale Ale Lager, and support our advertisers. If you're interested in advertising with us, please send me a note at editor@wearelibertarians.com, and we'll talk to you about how you can engage with our audience like our friends at 812 Farms and Liberty Valiance. Thanks so much. Now, without further ado, here is We Are Libertarians. Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. We Are Libertarians brings you all of the irreverence modern politics deserves. We explain to you what the hell is happening in our world today and how we can fix it by thinking differently. This is a podcast brought to you by the We Are Libertarians Network. So please be sure, and this is very, very important, please go rate and review us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, share this episode with friends, and support us through PayPal or Patreon at WeAreLibertarians.com. We are supported by listeners like you, so $1 per episode by pledging $5 a month helps us grow. And let me tell you, the Patreon, you guys are now paying our hosting. So I switched to a host so we could have more reliable, faster downloads, something called Fireside. I'm really happy with it. You can go to wal.fireside.fm. and check out our page and all the past episodes. And it costs some money, and it wasn't a cost that we had before, and you guys now through PayPal and Patreon are helping offset those costs, and I cannot personally thank you enough because it's allowed me to upgrade some equipment.
Take more women on dates.
Exactly, which we'll talk about. We are always taking your questions and comments via email at editor@wearelibertarians.com. The voice you heard was Greg Lenz, Old Faithful.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well.
I'm excited. This is like the first time I've not been sick in 4 weeks. I feel so good. The sun's shining.
We'll get to that. We got Chris Mayo here. Chris, how are you?
Good, guys. How you guys doing?
Right into that mic there for me.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
You're good.
Doing well.
And then Tad Western, you old son of a bitch. How are you? It's my birthday.
I'm doing awesome.
So
I'm a day older and a year older.
Do you count in the same years as regular folk?
No.
Gods,
I'm actually 900 years old. Like Moses
I was
going
to say, yeah. Gods usually, you know, it's different.
I got my first gray beard hair.
Nice.
But listeners of Tad Talk would know that. So I'm not here to plug my podcast or anything, or tadwestern.com or .edu.
Yeah.
Or.
Well, that got shut down.
Or the .edu got shut down.
It turns out, like Ted said, you can't just start your own Facebook university.
Yeah.
Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Also, intern Ed is here in the background. He's doing real intern shit tonight.
I cannot believe what you're doing to this poor man.
Listen, he's an intern.
Yeah, for free on a podcast, a libertarian podcast.
Yeah.
And well, some would argue probably not libertarian, but we like to believe we're libertarian.
It's called interning. And Ed, have you ever been an intern before? No. So I'm doing to him what he's now. Listen. I almost feel bad. You guys are making me feel bad about asking Ed to help set up lights, but that's what Ed's doing. Ed's giving back to We Are Libertarians, and we have done so much. Have we done a lot for you, Ed? Yes. He said yes. All right. So Blink twice if you're safe, Ed. Yeah.
Well, I heard Spangle under his breath said, and I'm helping build character.
Yeah, I am. Well, Ed's a man of character.
Puts hair on his chest.
Ed's a Brehob. They're proud men. They're good men. They're growers. They give back to the land.
Community leaders.
Yes. And you heard Ed last time. Intern Ed came on the podcast. We talked about communicating liberty, and now he's learning the hard work of libertarianism, which is setting up my lights. So things are different in here, aren't they, Greg?
They are. It's a full-on like professional radio studio.
Yeah, so We've got some new rigs. We've got I'm on a new mic. We've got some acoustic.
Your wall of scalps is down.
Yeah, the wall of scalps is down. We're gonna have video probably by next time. It's just taken me a long time to put all this stuff together, and I've spent a lot of money.
Don't want to deal with it.
I've spent a lot of money, but it's worth it. So got some new lights. We're gonna do some video. Harry's been helping me with computers. It's going to be like a professional studio, hopefully, in the next 1 to 2 episodes.
Absolutely. It's going to be
great.
That's
awesome.
It's
going to
be great again.
Yeah, so that's what Ed is helping with. Ed's helping put together the awesome new LED lights and the Diva Ring light, so we can have lots of video ideas. Lots of video ideas. I got a new camera, so we're good to go. We have literally everything that we need to create a massive empire.
We just need talent at this point.
We just need talent.
That's why I'm here.
It's a missing ingredient.
Other than Tad, we're out of talent. We have none.
That and female appeal, and we'll be all good.
You're lucky it's oozing out of my nose.
Well, so get this. Don't count on it, because it's an anagnos. But this summer, Kat Anagnos is going to be hanging out a lot.
I've seen her work.
So you're still looking for talent?
Yeah.
Well, she's an intern.
Let's be honest. She got into Ball State. This isn't, you know, shooting for the stars.
Kat is...
she's a Cardinal.
So maybe we'll have... Kat introduced herself on our Instagram. You can go check her out there. We need some talent. So if anybody can find some, please send it our way.
Have you seen our talent?
But I want to personally thank Ed for coming out tonight and interning for us and helping me with this. He's saving me a couple hours so I can focus on some other stuff. And I do appreciate it, Ed. Thank you very much. He's very unhappy with me right now. So he don't shake your head yes. Boy, get me some water.
Oh, boy. He's not hairy.
Oh, wow. That was accidentally racist.
What? You asked Harry to get the door.
Yes, but I was treating Harry like I treat everyone else, which is terribly.
It's very, well, yeah.
It's a wonder I have friends.
Yeah, well, you're not bitter.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. It always could be worse.
You could always be bitter. That's what I say. How bad is your day? Are you bitter? Then you're good.
So thank you to everybody who donates. You guys are helping us upgrade. We are upgrading all the infrastructure. We're just about done, and we're ready to rock and roll. So thank you, Tad Western, for coming to the pool party this past weekend.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for throwing me a pool party. I appreciate it.
Do you remember any of it?
I do, actually. Starting the day off, I went and I got a fish for okay. Jeremiah Morrill. Because
yes.
Everyone knows the backstory about how I allegedly murdered one of his fish.
Two.
Two.
You took two out.
Two of them. They've lived there. 14 years.
Did you see me? Wait.
Ed's all leaving. Right. Ed's walking out the door. He's leaving. He's had enough. Bye, Ed. See you later. So,
supposedly, I killed two fish. But then I tried catching fish later on at the party. And I couldn't even touch one, so I think this is all a mass fabrication.
No, I don't.
False flag.
They died. Was. You didn't actually get. You didn't catch a fish that night.
Well, see, I went over this.
You created such trauma that they died.
See, I went over this on my podcast a little bit ago, and I was like, I think I grabbed it. But could you imagine being grabbed by an alien and then just like,
no, that
fish, so awesome. And
that
then,
fish was very upset.
No, it was awesome. It died of shock because Tad Western touched it.
That's what it was.
That's what it was.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, I went and bought him. I bought him some fish.
A replacement fish.
I bought him replacement fish, and I went to Buffalo Wild Wings and brought like 50 freaking wings. And I can't stand. I can't stand being
chicken nuggets. Let's be fair.
They were nuggets. Boneless. Chicken nuggets.
They were not chicken wings. They were chicken nuggets.
They were tendies.
Kind.
Quote unquote.
They tendies.
Boneless wings. Go fuck yourself.
No.
Oh, really?
Really?
Boneless,
Mister, I don't eat fried food. What do you care?
Boneless wings are an abomination in front of the
Lord. No, they
aren't. Yes, they are.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you were passionate about that.
Very passionate about
anyone
this
else share that opinion?
No, I'm was the other way around, man.
Was there a
I don't like working
sandwich?
For my food. Sorry.
I'm sorry. You eat boneless wings. You're basically halfway to a vagina.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Can I tell you something why, though?
Uh-huh.
At Buffalo Wild Wings, you actually get more in the boneless than you do in the bone-in.
Sure.
Which doesn't make any sense to me.
Go. But you don't get the satisfaction of tearing into the flesh like your caveman forefathers.
Very tribal, primal.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
I beat my chest and I howl at the moon when I eat.
It's the last remaining place a man can go and feel like a man in today's world.
So I show up to the party with Buffalo Wild Wings.
Nuggets,
tendies, whatever you want to call them. Chicken tendies.
Did Ed really leave?
A fish in my... Yeah, I heard the truck fire up. He's out of here.
No, he's
screeched
going
him.
To get something to help and take these apart.
Okay.
A fish in one hand. Free Tad swag in the other. I'm passing out T-shirts, signing titties. I'm doing all kinds of shit. I love it.
That's not a joke.
The party was great.
He signed Lisa Crosby's titties.
Yep,
and then he gave Dakota's girlfriend Audrey a tramp
Audrey Joe?
Yep. No. And then Eric Lee.
Got a guy.
Eric Lee was so overcome with Tad Western that he got a tramp stamp too.
He did, and so did Christy.
Christy Avery did.
Yeah, she got a back tat.
You're handing out tramp stamps. Like,
Christy Avery was actually naked when you gave her the tattoo.
You're damn right she was.
Yeah.
Completely.
Completely naked.
Literally completely naked.
There was a lot of...
Chris Mayo, the level of debauchery that took place at Jeremiah Morrill's house this past weekend was... I mean, Greg...
It's why we can't have a libertarian society.
Unfortunately,
that was a perfect example.
Unfortunately, I'm picturing it, so yeah.
Why weren't you there?
I'm sorry. So you guys are talking about Jeremiah, you know, being maybe almost married. Well, I am
crazy.
Married,
right? Yeah.
So it's a little extra challenging to get out for
something.
I've
met your
like
wife.
That,
she's cool.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? She said that you need a girlfriend so we can double date. And I said, you don't know Greg.
That's good.
I don't know what you're trying to imply.
I have a friend. She's having a bad day. I said, I'd invite you over, but Greg will be there.
Who?
The blonde. And she's like, I just don't feel like being called a snowflake tonight.
That's the most snowflake thing you can say.
Right. Well, listen, you're not good at parties, Greg.
Yeah, I am.
Greg
define
is
define good. I do what I do well. I can't take it.
I mean,
that's not my responsibility if you don't receive it well.
If you go
but
to
I'm
my
gonna do, give my best performance.
Okay, if you go to my Instagram, it's cspangle, cspangle. There is video of Greg at parties. And it's where he's looking at one of our best friends, Sam, and he goes, you know what? You look like Marla Hooch. Okay, you called a woman Marla Hooch.
Because there's a backstory to it. Because
let's dig yourself in. Go ahead. Let's
she
all sit
always,
back and listen.
She always jokes about how she doesn't want kids. She just wants to be alone with her dogs when she gets older, you know? And I'm like, oh, you know, like one of those, you know, sporty lesbians in a Subaru that goes to Asheville, Carolina and kayaks and plays softball. And she's just like, oh, mortified. And so then, you know, I just was like, I troll her all the time. Like, sure. I have this long running joke. Like, I'll be like, where did you go to high school? And we went to high school together and only like 2 years apart, and just refused to admit that I knew her, that she went there as well. To the point that she started punching me.
Because at 3 a.m, you walked up to her and she goes,
well, no, she was, I'd already been roasting her for, she's starting a new job. And so she's telling people about her new job. And I interrupt every single time and go, let's be clear. You haven't actually started yet, nor have you received a paycheck. You're unemployed, tentatively pending being hired. And it drove her freaking crazy because she lives in Detroit. And I'm like, how original, an unemployed person living in Detroit. So she hits me for that. Then she pulls me aside because I had been roasting her about not knowing she went to high school. She goes, you're kidding, right? Like, you know, we went to high school. And I'm like, you went to Plainfield? What year did you graduate?
Punched him in the face.
Yeah. And then today I made the mistake of taking the video and then posting it on her timeline and then putting, did they have a softball team at your high school?
No.
She also drives a Subaru.
Yeah. She's great. She's a close friend. So I have free license to troll. But, you know, I don't, I like to make sure that I roast people just to feel them out if I'm going to like being around them or not. You know, if they get offended, I'm not gonna like them.
Yeah, but you never stop. That's the problem. I mean,
that's not true. I stop once I know where their borders are, like where the wall is, then I leave them alone.
He stops about 8 o'clock in the morning,
right? When he leaves.
That's so false.
So the second you take him out on a double date, he will be asking Renee, your wife, your lovely, saintly wife.
Oh,
all kinds of questions.
Oh yeah,
and saintly.
What? Yeah, and getting ammo.
And he, yeah, exactly. And I, all the time, I have female friends that I'm just like, why are you telling him this? Why are you telling them this? Yeah. So
they're right.
Yeah, and she'll feed it. So.
But I feel like Renee and I like to troll you for some reason.
Yeah, that's my point.
Usually, that's not the case. And, I mean, you wear Crocs. You have a Sunday rule that you only wear wife beaters and Crocs, and you won't go anywhere that requires more than that.
It's my day. It's the Lord's day. I
mean. Wife beater and Crocs. Classy.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's that new Palestine swag.
Listen, this is like the most calm stuff that happened. I'll tell you what, man.
I couldn't believe Christy Avery, like, and all of a sudden shit got weird.
All of a sudden, at like, people aren't even drunk yet, and Christy Avery about 10:30 just decided she's going to get naked and jump in the pool.
52 degrees.
Can we give a temp? That was with air temp.
Yeah.
That pool was cold.
Freezing cold.
The pool was 58 degrees.
Oh, no.
So that.
Butt naked.
That then inspires Lisa Crosby to get naked and jump in the pool.
Well, she had said she'd do it if Christy did it.
Oh, and so she followed through, but on her way to the pool, she sees James Neese, who's standing there.
Well, on the roof.
He's on the roof. He has had an entire bottle of codeine. He is the most fucked up.
He robo-tripped.
I've never seen him like it before. Uh-huh.
His pupils were as big as his irises.
Yes. She just immediately starts, of all the people at the party, to get like, you see him and you just wanted to get him naked, she chose James Neese.
Right.
And so
she jumps in.
She jumps in and drags him in with her.
Well, no, because he followed her in next, because he came off the roof. Like,
Tad's account of the story was, I heard footsteps above me, and I looked up, and all I saw was a white ass cheek and a cigarette and a
lit
and a red lit flame from a cigarette flying through the air and then splash, and then Neese pops out of the pool and the cigarette is still lit.
He extended his right arm and kept it above water.
And he's walking out of the pool like, suppose.
Oh. Keep in mind Joyce and Paul Morrill are sitting there at the table.
The two most godly people
right,
I know.
Right. And then there were normies that were sitting at the table. You know, they're being social, like talking at a party.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden the libertarian autism kicks in. There are naked people flying from all angles. One of them is robo-tripping and has a beanie hat on, smoking a cigarette, leaps from like Rey Mysterio Jr. off the top rope.
Oh.
Then he has the mindset to extend it, keep the cigarette up. Then he walks into the stairs and just slow walks sideways towards everyone, smoking a cigarette and alphaing all of us. It was the most incredible thing to witness. Just like anime tattoos all over his body.
Oh, no.
It was insane.
Is that a tattoo on your pelvis?
I've seen James's dick now. I want you all to understand.
Yeah.
I think
that's just
going
to be, he was thinking about doing a floor fight at the Libertarian Convention, and his slogan was going to be, you've seen my dick.
Yeah. Grower, not a shower, by the way.
Right.
That's just one corner. Jeremiah Morrill, I've never seen him like it. It's like the week before you and I were privately talking. You're just like, Jeremiah is like our stern dad. We need to get him to lighten up.
Not that time.
And then we got him to Saturday night, and all of a sudden we see why legally he's James Neese's dad.
Yeah.
Because he's just chugging flabongos.
Yeah, there was a plastic flamingo that had gotten turned into a beer bong.
What? He watched the death of little Tad, and then it just pushed him over the edge.
That's right.
And he had to... We stone-cold some beers.
Chris.
That's true, we did it.
Have you ever been to a dog fight?
No, I haven't.
Right. Cockfight.
You ever been to it? You know, like the atmosphere of a cockfight.
Yes,
that's what was going on around this fish tank as we were all watching Tad's little tiny neon
his replacement fish.
His replacement
trying to fit in.
Hold on, this is this goes back to the backstory.
They were fighting. There's 20 people standing around going, "Go, Tad! Go, Tad! You can fucking do it!"
Then
there was
like, "Fuck Tad! He sucks."
But I got money.
Anti-Tad people.
I got money on little Tad.
When I'm buying this fish, right? The guy's like. It was Walmart. I had to wait an hour and a half. Listen to Tad talk. I'll give you the whole backstory. I go over it. I was choosing between two fish, and the guy was like, "I don't think these two will be in the tank well together. One of them's mean, one of them's more docile." I was like, "Well, shit, I don't want to fuck up Jeremiah's, I don't want to fuck up his fish tank with some piranha or something. I don't know jack shit about fish other than they're good and deep fried fish sticks. That's the only thing I know about fish.
Like tendies."
So I'm like, "Well, give me that bright green one because it'll match my shirt." And he's like, "All right." And he's like, "What are you doing with this?" I was like, "Oh, my little cousin's birthday party. She wanted a fish, so I figured I'd get her one." Completely lied to this guy at Walmart. Like, I don't know.
It's not his business.
You know.
"Well, I killed these fish about a month ago."
So I give Jeremiah.
They're good. You ever had one?
Yeah.
I give Jeremiah a fish as a apology. He puts it in the water because, you got to let it let the water temperature
acclimate.
Get up to the same. Yeah, whatever fish do. I don't know. They're retarded. They're, and then he lets the fish out. How long did it last? It swam around for 45 seconds, I think, at the most. You've got a video of it, don't you?
I have a. There is a photo on the We Are Libertarians Instagram.
As soon as you stop filming it.
Yeah,
disappeared.
If you go to the Instagram, all the stuff that I can post, I did post the actual video. There's 11 minutes of Snapchats because we have a Snapchat. We are libertarians, and so there was 11 minutes worth of Snapchat from the party, and I posted that video in the group in the We Are Libertarians Facebook group, which you can get to through wearelibertarians.com. But there's also videos and photos on the Instagram, and it's spelled out We Are Libertarians. Excuse me. And Sarah Potter managed to get a photo of the fish that ate little Tad, and the tail is hanging out.
And he was still halfway alive.
It was
it was like Jonah and the Tad and the whale. Yeah, I like to think he's going to spit him out, and he's just going to run that fish tank.
And then ISIS is going to blow up his tomb.
Yep. Yeah, we can get into that. But anyway, long story short, I repaid Jeremiah. All debts are...
Satisfied.
All debts are paid.
Yeah.
And we chucked some beers.
It was something
Stone
else.
Stone Cold Steve Austin style.
We did.
God, what else happened? There's so many things that happened.
The Tanner story, that's the one that got me.
We'll get to him. We discovered that you have a son.
Yeah, Dakota Davis.
Who?
I have an illegitimate son, Dakota Davis. Apparently, everyone thinks we look alike, so.
You made a meme of little Dakota Davis, who is the co-host of the Boss Hog of Liberty podcast that Jeremiah Morrill hosts. And Dakota looks exactly like you. I mean, he's your 21-year-old son.
I'm proud of him. I mean, he's a Jimmy wrestler, and he talks a lot of shit. And I enjoy having him given to me as a son, and adopting him. Now, the thing is, I'd have been 11 years old when I impregnated his mother, which also that helps the reputation. So I'm not going to turn something
so
like that down.
That,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Dakota's my son. You're damn right. You should have seen her.
Oh man, yeah. Jer was by far the. Off, there is
he was Vegas Jeremiah Morrill. Like, I'd never seen him.
I'm amazed that there wasn't a tiger and he didn't have a face tattoo the next
morning.
He
said something offensive to Harry.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He did.
Harry got on me for the soft A. Jeremiah repeated the hard R.
He did a hard ER.
Really?
The one word you can't say?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What?
He tested that method. Yeah.
That's how wild he got.
In his defense, he was repeating what Harry said.
Yeah.
I was outside when all this went down.
No, Harry, the autism corner, was in full force.
Him and Seth.
Him and Seth stood in a corner, and literally, this is not an exaggeration.
The entire night.
The entire night, for probably 4 to 5 hours straight talking about RAID and hard drives.
What?
Yeah.
It's not even exaggeration.
The Cockroach Killer?
No.
No.
The game.
Oh. I don't know. Anything.
I'm out, man.
RAID is some sort of standard. I don't know. I wasn't listening. They're nerds.
Oh, that reminds me. I did put, I can't remember if it was my meat or Brett Bittner's meat, but I.
Oh, yeah. Bittner, we got to talk about.
Yeah. I force-fed meat into Seth's mouth. I think he's like a, I don't know, vegetarian or something. Because he was like, or no, he's super picky.
He's real picky.
No, he eats plenty of meat.
Oh, not that meat.
I'll tell you what, man. Bittner was the best I've ever seen Bittner.
He bragged like all about the meat he was bringing. Like, he's like, oh, I'm going to bring this wonderful meat. I'm going to go, and it's, you know, a Japanese Zen master is going to bless it, and it's going to be massaged and grass-fed and, you know, all this stuff. And then he's incapacitated, I'll just say. And can't even, like, pat. He's so fucked up, he can't even, like, properly pack hamburger patties or meatballs or anything. So he spends all this money on, like,
and
literally blessed meat. Like, I'm not even joking. He must have spent.
It was special keto meat.
Yeah. Oh, God.
And it all fell apart.
Yeah, and he didn't pack it, and no one wanted to eat it because it just looked like, you know,
I ended up eating crumbling flesh. I ended up eating
disgusting.
Some JTM hamburger that Ari and I bought at the Walmart.
Courtesy of Pappy Western.
And it was the worst hamburger I've ever had in my life.
And
Bittner's like, why don't you have some wine? I'm like, I can't find it. It's all, like, just crumbles.
It was the buildup. This was, like, 2 weeks long. Like, uh-huh. I'm going to get this meat. And then,
when I showed up, he had the first plate on the island there where all the food was. And I sat down. It was kind of funny because I sat down the B-dubs and everybody just, like, jumped on it. I was like, well, shit, I thought we had food. I thought Brett was cooking. And I looked over. I was like, ooh. Is that fucking meatloaf?
He tried to put meatloaf on the grill.
It literally looked like meatloaf grill. And I was like, fuck it, I'll try it. So I grabbed it, like, packed a little ball and then threw it in my mouth because I'm a fucking savage. I don't need a fork to eat. And I was like,
I live on
that
a ranch.
Bad? I was like, why isn't
it just looked unappetizing.
Shit?
Like,
it did. It was like, no, I don't think anybody knew what it was.
It was like crumbly, like grainy meat, just like
it looked
gray.
Like, it looked like blue cheese.
Yeah, that's
like,
yeah.
Like
I was
hamburger,
like,
meat or something.
And I was just like,
it wasn't white. It was.
There were several people that, well, the devil's lettuce was present, and
I don't know what you mean.
And there was several sacraments from the Church of Cannabis.
The absinthe got brought out at one point.
Really?
And absinthe?
I had that in Germany. It doesn't.
No,
it's nasty.
Well, so like they get it out and like they're not sure what to do because, you know, there's like a process, and so I just pretend like I've had it, know what I'm doing, and I'm lying my ass off.
Right. Yeah.
And it wastes an entire part of it.
Yeah.
And they're just like, you didn't know, and I'm like, I had
no. Yeah.
And they're like, motherfucker.
Well, you guys had a spoon at one point. I was like, all right, I got a lighter. Can
yeah,
I light that
yeah.
spoon?
And we just yep. trolled the shit out of them. And they're like, so what do we do now? I'm like, fuck, I know. I'm just letting this ride.
Trip balls.
Just showing you the way authority works. You all can right, just assume
next?
It. Yeah.
So I left around 2 because I had to drive an hour back.
And it's a hike.
Yeah. So
I don't blame you for not coming because, I mean, it is a hike.
See, a lot of people don't.
The area.
I guess cops were circling.
Yeah, they were. Well, yeah. He lives in the neighborhood with every, like, community leader.
Mm-hmm.
Like, on all sides. And so, he parked. It had to be a Libertarian Party because it looked like someone did Tetris with the cars in the front yard to make sure they didn't get on neighbors'
right.
property.
And there
you
was
could
one,
not have got another car on that lot, and there were like 25.
Really?
There was one car that the license plate began with 4chan.
Guess who that belonged to?
Yeah.
No.
Yes. His license plate on his Elantra no. says 4chan 1.
First thing I see when I pull in is a Subaru, uh-huh. an old Subaru. With the license plate that says Nickelback on it.
What? Whose is that?
Not a joke. Nckelback.
Yeah. Whose is it?
And it was the wife. It was
Dave.
the husband of some. It's the husband of a friend of
Sarah Potter's.
Sarah Potter's, and the dude looked exactly like Joel Osteen.
Oh my God!
So funny story. Funny story. He left. She left. Was the girl was popped, so she left her phone and they had to take off quickly because she was too drunk.
Right.
She leaves her phone, and so I have to go, and I'm like, you know what? They live in Indy. I'll just drop it off for him on the way back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I drop him off, and I had met this guy briefly, not talked to him much, and he's like, does Spengler really think I look like Joel Osteen? And I'm like, no. Like,
no.
He's just busting your chops. Meanwhile, he's posting a meme doing a side-by-side on Facebook. Doesn't this look like Joel Osteen? And I'm like, oh.
80 likes.
Well, I'm literally handing the phone. And I've never met him before, except for briefly when I was taking his drunk wife home and trying to make awkward small talk.
Right.
And meanwhile, on Facebook, Spangle is putting a picture of him and Joel Osteen.
There was a
couldn't be a
side.
Nicer guy. Yeah. Could not be a nicer guy. Oh, and really, man. Really enjoyed it and like wants to hang out again. So.
Of course. Our parties are the best parties. Everybody
so,
wants to come
so
to
So I went
parties.
Ahead and invited my wife to the next one. Because I don't know if you guys know
I'll go
this,
on a double date with you and your wife.
At one point, she was like the shotgun champ, man. I mean, she was pretty good. So I invited
really?
Her. This was pre-kids. I don't know if she still got it in her.
This is when you farted on her?
This was after that.
Okay.
That's when
well,
we knew we were in
that's
love.
When you claimed her.
Yeah.
You have to mark your territory.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
She stayed.
Yeah.
I mean, to her credit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I sent her an invite.
Who else? Who else have we not gotten to? Tanner.
Well, Tanner is just like a... Like, I've met Tanner a couple times, and like we've talked in, online, and so Tanner, I have not even said hi to him yet, and he just storms up to me and shows me the video of how he got T-boned rolling out of his driveway. Yes, that's it. He does. So...
I see it. Yeah, I can see it. Have you seen? You seen?
Oh,
seen
I was the
picture,
there. I was
right?
at the party.
Okay, all right. Good.
Yeah,
he looks exactly like Joel Osteen.
Yeah,
is yeah.
It I see
yeah.
it. I see it now.
Yeah. So, Tanner is the kid that we sent to Washington D.C. And Tanner is
organized an entire podcast around him being available.
Yeah.
To do correspondent reporting in D.C.
Exactly, and he dropped his phone and some coffee on the way out there. And the only update that we got out of Tanner on the inauguration was one Facebook status where it just said, phone FCKD.
Yeah, no vowels at all, only consonants. That's all that would work because he dropped it in a huge cup of coffee while in the bus at the Ohio border.
So now we're taking a huge...
Oh, dog. Oh.
We're taking a huge risk because next week, it's 420 on the Thursday that we normally record this Thursday nights. And we're going to have him and Miranda. So I'm going to tell them 5:30. Okay, I'm going to tell them 6.
Just tell them 420 on 420. They can't forget that.
Yeah, probably safer bet.
Oh, they can. And you be here at 7, okay?
It'll be 7. Yeah, I mean, Miranda is always the wild card. Like, Tanner on 420, I think it was reliable. Because he did feel really bad. Because I never talked to him, like, one-on-one a whole lot.
Sure.
And he just shows me the video of him. He had recently gotten a terrible auto accident and almost died.
Yeah, it's like a horrible concussion.
Literally leaving his driveway. And doesn't see the car coming on the left.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And it smashes him Paul Walker style, like just gets T-boned.
Yeah.
Dad Western style.
Yeah, Dad Western style. He actually did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buys a brand new car. Total.
Yeah.
Now he drives this horrible.
Well, the Clitoris.
Hey, that's a classic, goddammit, and there's only two of them in existence.
CLI version.
Four Tauruses?
No, those are CLI editions. Specially made.
Yep. CLI version.
Okay, I get it. Very clever.
Talk to fucking Henry Ford about that.
Henry Ford.
I didn't come up with it.
He didn't make a lot of these.
Yeah. Good old Henry Ford.
But so he does that. And then Tanner progressively, like, he's like, he's kind of like a social butterfly at parties. Like, you see him, you don't see him. He's flying all around.
Bruh.
Yeah, laughing his ass off. And then at one point, it looks like he has the worst case of pink eye I've ever seen.
He's been trying to get clean. He's been trying to get sober. And then all of a sudden,
went to this party.
You enable him.
Not us, because we don't use it.
He thought it was a cigarette. I legitimately believe him when he said he thought he was smoking a rolled cigarette.
So I see him, and he
rolled
is...
Rolled cigarette.
It looked like he took pink paint on his eyes, puffed him up, and he's like this.
He's
a tall guy, so he's walking around like eyes... Like this, trying to mingle.
Rolling back
And
his
I go,
head.
Tanner, did they give you some of the wacky tobacco? He, on cue, looks at me and goes... They did, and I'm not too happy about it. I erupted into laughter because he was being dead serious and had no idea. Everyone just started crying.
One of the greatest characters of the show that has not been on yet.
He really is.
He was walking around looking at the ceiling, though, like, is there a spider up there or something? Like, what the hell is he looking at?
He just, there is nothing like him.
That a little closer to you. And then, next week, and so we...
And then you're trying to sleep with my son's fiance the entire time.
I'm not
He's
trying
in love
to.
With her.
Listen, Dakota is 21, and his fiance's 20, and they're getting married, which I'm against, okay? That's not a good plan. You should not be getting married that young. And, And this is why I don't think that is, because we did a podcast that no one will ever hear.
I told you
were right once.
I said,
again,
don't do it. It's gonna be a waste.
And it was horrific. And during that podcast, she was making eyes at me.
googly-eyed?
Listen, when Deer Leader gets a mic in his hand, the ladies the ladies can't help themselves.
Panties drop.
You do realize Tad Western was standing right over your shoulder, right?
You were, but she was making eyes at me.
And she has Tad Western's initials on her
back. That is a good point, yeah.
You did sign her. You branded her. You branded women. It was very sexist party until Eric Lee decided he wanted a tramp stamp too, which to his credit, it's first time a guy has ever said, I want a guy to sign me.
I don't discriminate.
You handled it very well. I was like, is this for real? How far is this going to go? And then it went the whole nine yards.
Yeah, you gave Eric a tramp stamp.
You're damn right I did.
And he liked it.
He loved it.
He loved it.
He got it tattooed.
Listen, I kept the Sharpie clipped on my hat.
All night.
All night, just in case I had to sign a tit.
Ready to go.
But I also had a Bic two-blade razor underneath so I could shave off, you know, like they do at tattoo parlors, because you don't want the hair messing up the signature.
You brought a Bic to make sure you could have a clean surface to sign people
on. You never know when someone's going to get your name tattooed on them, and you got to keep it legit.
Oh, my God.
I'm a very thoughtful person.
I am blown away by your preparation and the way you're able to anticipate these things. But
He's extremely prepared all the time.
Some people say Tad Western's a soothsayer or toothseer or whatever that word is.
A what?
Soothsayer.
Toothseer. He's a toothseer, everybody.
I'm a truth teller.
Yeah. Anyway.
I'm woke. Yep. You know what I mean.
Yeah, so.
I've read a lot of documents, okay?
Now, Intern Ed is joining us here at the table. Thank you so much for putting all those lights together.
No problem.
Is this party something that you think your wife would let you attend?
No.
Yeah. No?
No.
You're not going to come to the summer party?
Feel you, bro.
Oh, she...
What?
She wouldn't be happy about it, but I didn't say I wouldn't come.
Okay. There we go. That's libertarian right there.
Because we're going to make sure that Miranda's at the next one, and it will be ratchet as
There's no making sure Miranda's at anything.
That's a good point. That's a solid point.
She just appears when she appears.
She is, yeah. She's mysterious in that way. I met Ed's wife, lovely wife, and two of your daughters? Do you only have two?
No, I have four.
Okay. Lovely.
Whoa.
Ed's got
no wonder you wanted to intern for free on a libertarian podcast.
He's got
just get the hell away from all that estrogen.
He's got preteen girls. So
that's what you have to look forward to.
I know.
How old's your daughter?
So she'll be six next month.
Oh, okay, so you still got a time for
her. Yeah, she's still cute. Yeah.
She's not an enormous bitch yet.
Yeah.
Right. She's not a real pain in the ass.
Yeah,
yet.
When she throws a tantrum, it's cute right now.
Okay, so, good.
Yeah, I got that.
So your mood will change here in like a few years.
Right.
Right. Oh, man. So, yeah, great party, great time.
Great time. Jeremiah Morrill's the hell of a host. He always have a great time.
People always say, I don't want to go all the way out there. It's all the way out in Newcastle. But you have to understand, Newcastle, he's got 17 rooms.
Oh, yeah. It was in a movie. The home was in a movie on, you know, IMDb. It's got a home credit. Yeah. They actually filmed a movie there.
I've seen the movie. It's, they shouldn't have gotten IMDb credits.
Well, I mean, it's still a cool, like, you know, talking point or, you know, did you know?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
shit.
Legit.
It's like a very low-budget Newcastle movie.
Well, I believe that.
High-budget
Newcastle movies?
As opposed to...
They have a blossoming film industry out in Henry County. But we go to breakfast in the morning, and like seeing Jeremiah Morrill, how the people of Henry County and Newcastle respond to him, we're sitting there. James Neese is
living
next
legend,
to me.
Huh?
Looks like he has been on a cocaine bender for a week.
Let's
matted, disgusting.
Put this into perspective. James Neese was the sober driver for Jeremiah Morrill to breakfast the next morning.
Okay.
That's how bad.
That's how bad Jeremiah Morrill was.
So there's six
party.
Of us sitting at Stacks, great restaurant out in Newcastle, mm-hmm. having breakfast. It is like the president came in.
Really?
The owner comes out to our table with James freaking Neese looking like mad at hair, like a feral cat.
Yeah, we just got back in from Vegas.
Yeah. He's still so messed up. His eyes are kind of like, he's trying to look at his phone and can't read it.
Uh-huh.
And here comes the owner like to introduce himself to our entire table and like mm-hmm. have a conversation with Jeremiah.
Meanwhile,
the
Jeremiah...
The most surreal experience. Like, we're a bunch of shitlords that are hungover. I might puke on your shoes if you shake my hand too hard. Just turned out to be a hell of a good guy.
Uh-huh.
But then we had to get out of there because the church crowd came in. And so Jeremiah's like, all right, guys, they need this table. And then we're like, what? Like, what's going on?
Oh, wow.
No joke. That place flooded, and it seats every bit of 250 people.
That's crazy.
Yeah. This is quite the weekend.
Like, get out of here, shitlords.
Well, that's the thing. He's like, I, you know, there might be more people I know. I'll introduce you to the owner, but I didn't say anything about influential people.
Right. Yeah. Should we talk about that one person?
No.
No.
Yeah. They're never invited to any of my parties ever again. There was one person that never, ever invited again. Maybe we'll reveal who they are, but this guy, it's a shame what happened.
We could put out a We Are Libertarians Guess Who.
Yep. I'm not real happy right now. All right. So, Ed, we look forward to seeing you at the summer party.
Okay.
All right.
We promise we won't document it so. And tell
Ed
your wife anything.
Stoked.
Got okay. Naked chicks jumping into pools.
Okay. There's a lot of serious things in the world.
We needed that because the world's falling to shit.
Oh shit!
We're not prepared. I mean, listen, let's fiddle right as the Titanic's going down. Together, all of us. So, just give us a brief overview of everything that has happened over the last few days, Greg. Let's start with Syria, and then we'll move to Afghanistan. There's been some things in Europe that have happened. A lot of foreign news taking place.
Just, I mean, really, hell in a handbasket. Like, you have Syria, where Bashar al-Assad is continuing to feel a lot of pressure from still the after effects of the Arab Spring and being a Shia. He's a Shia. He's an Alawite Muslim in a country that's only 11% Shia. And so... It's also, he only controls probably about 25% of the actual land he's the president over, and ISIS controls a big portion, and so does the al-Nusra Front. And so he actually faces the most resistance from the al-Nusra Front. And so he went ahead and attacked the Idlib province and dropped 4 bombs. And on the ground, the reporting was that he used chemical weapons. And so he's not supposed to have chemical weapons because... He gassed his own people back in 2013 and killed about 1,400 people and signed the Chemical Weapons Convention where Syria would turn over all of their chemical weapons and then Russia would be in charge of actually, you know, maintaining them and holding on to them. And it was seen as sort of a passing of the guard of American intervention in the Middle East for the better, in my opinion.
Right.
And, you know, he had every incentive to go ahead and turn over that. You know, he didn't have any incentive to hold on to really anything unless it got so bad that he was going to be, you know, he'd be kicked out anyway and have to go to like, well, United States or Switzerland or something like that, somewhere that offered him safe harbor. And but he went ahead and attacked the Idlib province, which is where his biggest threat, led by Sunnis, the al-Nusra Front, who's now actually part of 4 different rival groups called Tahrir al-Sham. They have formed like a mega group of Sunni led resistance trying to establish a caliphate that's similar to ISIS, only they take, and rather than shock and awe and horrifying imagery to win and just absolute barbarism like ISIS, they're men of the people. They go around and bottom up, try to, you know, swing people to their side, which is why they've been so effective. And they actually have taken a pledge not to attack the West. So that's why they've, you know, we've actually probably funded them with about $1 billion worth of training. And then they use mercenaries that can be bought and swayed to either side too. But this is his biggest threat because if he falls, it's a Sunni country, Sunni majority. And they, you know, it's like what happened in Egypt. If you let them choose, they're going to choose Sharia law. And so he is, he's threatened. He's feeling the heat because he's already a minority and he has to rule with an absolute iron fist. And since he signed this convention, when you take chemical warfare off the table, it limits quite a few options.
Sure.
And so he, you know, and because he's facing populists instead of, you know, barbarians like ISIS, it's effective. And so they can actually control the province and the town that he hit. It isn't like he has Syrian government forces there. Like, it is completely run. They have courts, police, civil services, everything. And so that was why he chose to attack it. Now, because he attacked it, and, you know, the allegation is chemical weapons, technically he violated the convention he signed, which the United States had stopped pursuing regime change. And because he did this, Rex Tillerson ended up making a statement saying that now that, you know, him being in charge of leadership in the ongoing is probably unlikely. And Nikki Haley said the same thing to the UN. And so it's really just, you know, a lot of Trump supporters are livid because after he did that, Trump ordered 59 missiles to attack Assad and his Air Force stronghold that has, I think they probably took out, I'd say, about 25% of their remaining Air Force, which are almost all Soviet era, mm-hmm. you know,
huh.
planes. And Trump did it without telling anybody.
Right.
He did give the Russians heads up, and that was it, as far as I know, beforehand.
But all of a sudden, the Syrians and the Russians are having lunch. The Russians, hey, we all got to go. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Be right back.
Don't eat our lunch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Assad's always kind of operated without a whole lot of issues because he has one of the best air forces in the entire Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
The Iranians prop him up because they're Shia, and mm-hmm. they, you know, love to see his influence so close, you know, right on the border of Israel. And then as well, the Russians back him because that allows them to sell natural gas and oil into Europe with the pipeline. And there's no real competing pipeline through the Middle East. Yeah. Well, that's the whole, what a lot of people think is the start of this is Qatar wants to build a pipeline, or Oman wants to build a pipeline through Turkey competing with this pipeline. And Saudi Arabia wants it too. And it is just caused mass upheaval in the region. I mean, we started the upheaval. And then the Arab Spring, really, you could argue, was us because of our financial crisis. So we've just built ourselves a turd. I mean, an unwinnable situation, which I thought, I was really hoping Trump, you know, it was it was a massive response for something that there was no investigation on the ground. You couldn't prove he used it, Sarin, because at the same time, the people he hit have been caught trying to manufacture it on their own.
Yeah, I keep, and clear your throat if you don't mind. you have every libertarian conspiratard, I mean, basically saying, blah, 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 and there was some reports early on that the rebels did it.
Well, they've been caught doing it. It's like the Saudis have given chlorine bombs to the Al-Nusra Front.
The big attack several years ago, it ended up being the rebels that
it was the rebels that did it,
and not Assad.
Right.
So how do we know for sure that it was actually Assad that used the gas?
I would actually contend it probably wasn't.
Okay.
I think he hit one of their facilities that had it. They were trying to make it because they hit a warehouse intentionally.
Okay. Got it. So so their aim was like, well, we'll just gas you all since you're in the area. So,
well, no, like they use it to frame Assad. So they manufacture it and then they use chemical weapons. And then what happens is they go out and use it like in skirmishes. And then Assad gets in trouble by the global community and hit with more sanctions, rendering him less and less able to lead.
Sure. Okay.
And it's really problematic. I know Mayo and Ted, you guys know the same thing. I mean, it's I don't know how you fix Syria because it isn't a country anymore.
There is no easy fix. I mean, 2 years ago, I think I was on Abdul's show and he asked the same thing. And there is no, you know, when things were ramping up and right after those chemical attacks, and there is no easy fix. I can't, you know, and libertarians want to say, "Oh, just pull out or whatever." Man, it is a mess. And you're right. And I mean, so there's a lot of history there, and you have to understand the history on the area. But I don't know where to begin on that. There's so many different fronts there. I mean, between Hezbollah and everything else that's going on there, I don't know where you would actually start. I mean, we know what we've done. We know we've assisted, funded, aided, trained, or something almost every group there.
All of them.
We're trying to have a good relationship with Russia. And, you know, and then
finally.
Yeah, exactly. So.
Well, then you were, you were in the Air Force as well.
I was.
You're a former military service member.
So we did, and we've had issues with Syria for years. So even during the height of the Iraq conflict, obviously there was a lot of cross-border stuff going on there between Syria and Iraq.
It's not even a border anymore.
It's not. You're right. And then when we were flying from Turkey to Iraq all the time, and we were constantly getting trolled by the Syrians. Their Air Force was either tailing us all the time, tracking us, playing with our radios and everything else. I mean, we've been dealing with them for a long time.
Because the Russians sold their missile defense system to Syria, right?
Correct.
Which protects them.
And then
advise
them on how to use it. So they're still
the
telling them what to do.
And
so
that's why they're such a big threat to Israel, because you know, they're the one border issue with Israel that has a pretty, you know, it's not nearly as good, but it's still an existing weapon system that it poses a real threat to people that don't recognize their right to exist, and all things being equal, probably march them into the sea.
Sure.
So the attack, I mean, and like you said, I think it was really knee-jerk. So we launched 59 missiles, which, so you have, you know, the Democrats on one side talking about what a warmonger he is for dropping less bombs than Obama ever did in the area. And I think they said 58 of them hit their intended target. But mm-hmm. I've also heard reports that 23 of them landed on the airbase.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Russian reporting has been literally polar opposite.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
I even read some were shot down.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then planes flew out of there like within a week.
Well, it did. And that's on the flight pad. Like they caught that on the flight tracking.
It's traceable.
Yeah. And so we know that was a lie,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, you're going to do that anyway because they're trying to foment, you know, it seemed like they were trying to stoke or almost test the American sentiment for war, which to me makes no sense because we don't have a strategic interest there other than Israel.
Right.
I can't name one thing we benefit from by being involved other than protecting Israel.
The oil and gas.
But I mean, we're the world's largest. Now we're the world's largest. And then with South America.
What, 2 or 3 days before the gas attack that Tillerson was saying, hey, we have no interest in regime change.
And that was the first time we had pursued, I mean, since Trump won, that's a total reversal in change in policy. And like we're, you know, then though, you know, then there's the people that say, well, it was getting, the heat was really getting on with the Carter, or with the Paul Manafort. They could prove in 2007 and 2009 that his company received payment on a Ukrainian ledger. And so he has to register as a foreign agent with the Department of Justice now. And so that heat was starting to come down. And so then there's people arguing, well, did he go ahead and do this?
Yep, as a diversion.
And now can you say that he has this great relationship with Russia?
Yeah, it does completely divert that argument. And it also, it diverts attention away from the Obamacare issue.
Well, then Carter Page, the FISA warrant was issued on Carter Page, one of his foreign policy advisors during his campaign.
People rally around a president in time of war, so it's a little bit of wag the dog here.
Also, the approval ratings that came out.
Well, his approval rating went up, and like, who would have thought? Like, this guy ran on non-intervention, and the Democrats are calling for regime change in a place. Who do you want to pick the Al Nusra Front? They throw gay people off of rooftops.
Like, he backed Assad in the primaries. He's like, or we'll let Russia and Assad handle it, you know?
Right. And that's the thing is regime change does you no good because there's no faction that has enough, like a stronghold, enough influence to rival Assad. Like, so if it's the Sunni faction, they're going to eventually have a war with ISIS because ISIS wants a caliphate. So does the Al-Nusra Front, but they split because they don't believe in the barbaric tactics. Yep. And that's why Al-Qaeda disavowed ISIS.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so you have competing Sunni interest there where no one faction controls enough to be able to maintain order and deliver services. Right. It'll turn into Sunni versus Sunni.
And at the end of the day, that comes down to who's paying them.
And what they'll really do is they'll just turn on the Alawites, who are, you know, the history of Syria and the Assad family. They lived in Alawite villages up in the Nursia Mountains, I think. And they, Alawites are so secretive, been persecuted for so long, there are no texts that exist of their religion.
Huh.
You can't go learn about it because they've had to hide it for so long because they're always persecuted. As if you remember when we had our friend Amir Rothschild on,
our friend,
he used to call Shias pagans because they're different than Sunnis and they have a lot of symbols and you know he calls them basically Muslim Catholics, like they got all these idols you worship.
Sure. Yeah,
and that's the thing is Alawites even take communion. And it's just an odd, you know, but it's so secretive you can't go and find texts about it. You can't read about it because they hide it intentionally so they can't be persecuted because that's the history of their people. So if they lose, there's going to be an extermination of Shias in Syria, and that's going to piss Iran off.
Sure.
And Iran now, eastern Iraq on their border, their militia is arguably the largest military, probably the strongest military in all of Iraq right now is the Iranian Guard and the militia they've been training, the rebels. It just it's already a mess.
It is.
And so at the point you look, I was thinking, I go, how hilarious is this? The alleged gasser of his own people is the most humane.
Yeah.
What kind of choice is that where you say, the guy that Sean Spicer tried to tell everybody is worse than Hitler, that's our guy. That's the one you want if you want people to be safe.
Right.
Stability, not safe. Yeah. I mean, it depends on who you're and not, he does you're have not safe. Let's get it right. You're not safe in the region.
Because that's the thing, you really want to give ISIS the Syrian Air Force?
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Before he gave them everything,
I mean, that's
else
the reality.
The
right.
You want to give them that? We already gave them their Toyotas and their tanks and their guns in Iraq. Like, now you want to hand them over MiGs?
SU-22s.
Yeah. It's a damnedest situation. And to me, that just neuters any American president because if you're that ballsy, you're insane. If you're so ballsy, you'll pursue regime change. Because, like, Iraq was, they thought, what was his name? Malaki? Malaki was a guy that was respected. He was Shia, but he was respected by Sunnis and had longstanding relationships. He had educated at Oxford, part of the global, you know, part of, he ran in circles like Assad. Like, this guy doesn't strike you as a barbarian because he looks like a banker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, the second his reelection was even questioned,
yep,
he started slaughtering Sunnis like Bashar al-Assad.
Running over villages.
And that's what they do when they're threatened. And so you say, God, the only way to maintain order in there is to be like Saddam Hussein.
You have to have a dictator. Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day. Man.
And especially if they're the minority, where it's minority-led. But if I'm a Coptic Christian in Syria, I will take Bashar al-Assad all day because he doesn't enforce the Alawite religion on me.
Yeah.
He's a secular dictator.
Right.
Which sounds crazy.
So you've written some great notes that I'll post with this actual episode so people can go back and read it. So you want to kind of start, let's start from the beginning of those and give a structured view of the entire Syrian conflict.
Yeah.
And let's start with some of the goals that the Trump administration has outlined through Nikki Haley.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I was glad Nikki Haley reaffirmed, and so did Trump, because he did an interview with Michael Goodwin in the New York Post saying that we are not going into Syria. And everyone needed to hear that.
Right. That we're not going to put boots on the ground, essentially.
Right. Like, everyone needed to hear that we're not going to go in there and make it Iraq 2.0.
Trump basically said our big mission is getting rid of ISIS. That's where it's always been, but when you see kids choking to death, you watch their lungs burning out, we had to hit them and hit them hard.
And I do, you know, a lot of people were afraid that would trigger war.
Sure.
And he flirted that line really well, because he drew a clear line in the sand that kind of behavior isn't going to be tolerated anywhere, while at the same time having the restraint to say we're not going it, following it up with intervention. So far.
Right. But at the same time, launching weapons to try, when you don't know if Bashar al-Assad is the one who released the weapons, it seems like a very knee-jerk reaction, and it isn't our responsibility to prevent these kind of attacks in the future. It's certainly Obama's red line. He didn't, you know, he's been very critical of when
his floating red line.
When yeah. Obama said yeah. that, if you used chemical weapons, that's a red line for us, and we'll have to take action. And then when chemical weapons were used, fortunately, he didn't act.
Fakely.
Right.
Thank God he didn't act.
But that speaks to this, where action isn't our responsibility. There really is no strategic interest for the United States. And yes, it is a humanitarian crisis. But Donald Trump hasn't been on the forefront of helping the humanitarian crisis in bringing Syrian refugees to the United States.
It's an about face.
So why all of a sudden is he interested in helping the people of Syria when he's not going to let them into this country, which is the humane thing that the United States could do if they want to act? Meanwhile, he's launching bombs to look tough. The entire action makes zero sense
from a deterrent perspective that he... So, like, if your first military excursion as a, you know, like JFK in the Bay of Pigs,
mm-hmm.
you know, you want to project strength, because if you do not, you just keep getting tested. It's like your first day in prison. You go and hit and beat the hell out of the biggest, toughest guy you can, and then hopefully everyone leaves you alone the rest of the time you're in there.
And if you're going to rationalize it, it's Assad broke a contract.
He did.
And we took out a strategic air base.
And we showed him what the terms of breaking the contract looked like.
And
so
we will enforce it. I mean, that's...
And the Russians, too, because, you know, I think they were betting that wasn't going to be the case.
Yep. And to play devil's advocate here, and I agree with what Spangle was saying here, but, I mean, it's, okay, so you're not taking them in, but maybe you think your duty is to protect them so they don't want to come over here.
Yeah.
And, like I said, I don't necessarily agree with that, but that could be, you know...
It's a rationale.
That could be a rationale that's used there, yeah.
I think it's a lose-lose either way, in my opinion. Yeah. And there's no... I mean, I don't know what the hell you do, especially that quick.
Being president sucks. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
After doing the research on this, like, thank God people want to do it, because you have to be insane to want this kind of burden. Because it's the kind of burden that you don't sleep for 8 years. Like, right. And you never have certain information. You never know with any kind of conclusive evidence. Now, granted, there isn't a cat's asshole in your face like when you podcast.
What? That's not an asshole. That's a tail.
Literally, Greg is plugging through and Mittens has her. She is presenting herself.
I'll keep her here.
She.
I feel like she's ready to jump in the pool at Jeremiah Moyle's party.
I'll post this photo up on the Instagram. Yeah, Mittens is ready to spread chemical warfare.
Yeah, you're about to get I feel like
this is like how Mayo started dating his wife. Like, Mittens is about to claim
me. Is that what Assad did? He just dropped a bunch of feral cats over the city.
That's chemical weapon. That's weapons grade.
I mean, I don't know what you do in that situation, though. And especially, I'm sure Trump's listening to his experts on the region of what to do and how to send a message. But, I mean, I'm sitting back. I'm like, everybody's like, oh, it's terrible that he bombed these people. And then you got people on the other hand. The left majority, they're like, oh, it's awesome because he's taken out people who were or, you know, he's responded to people who got
Dumb people who don't know what's going on.
I know,
let's be honest.
There's people who think he went and attacked ISIS.
Yeah,
so.
And I'm sitting
what do you mean? They're the brownies.
Right.
Got them.
Yeah. I'm sitting here sitting like, what the hell is going on? It's been, what was it, a day? 2 days?
It was a hectic. I mean, this has been crazy madness. I mean,
yeah, the Moab bomb.
Well, then Steve Bannon, like, he's basically disavowed Bannon, who,
right.
And it looks for like petty reasons, mm-hmm. because it's that he was the mastermind that, you know, came up with a nationalist agenda and, you know, made him so effective. Yeah. And so now he's like, listen, Steve, he did an interview and said, Steve is just somebody who works for me. Ooh. I am my own strategist. And I thought, he's fallen way too far.
Yeah.
If that's the case. Because he got removed from National Security Council, that move that was made where he got put on and everyone lost their minds.
Yeah.
And then, like, at the same time, though, they should be livid now because he was the only guy that was saying, what the hell difference do we care which genocidal dictator kills each other?
Yeah.
And then Kushner, his son-in-law. Go ahead, Dad.
Well, I was just going to bring up the Kushner headbutting, alleged headbutting that's been reported.
Well, why is his son-in-law, whose greatest claim to fame is that his family bought and restored the New York Observer?
Yeah.
And then they were able to buy. Well, no.
Let's be honest.
No, Trump rebuilt Manhattan.
Steve Bannon's greatest claim to fame is that he's a documentarian. It's like
Michael owns the Seinfeld rights. That's how he made his wealth.
Okay, great. A great policy thinker. But you know what I'm saying? It's like putting Michael Moore in charge of chief of staff for Barack Obama.
But you know what? I kind of liked it because that means his was limited. Like,
yeah.
Steve Bannon's worldview was limited and for the good.
And he was an American
domestic.
I mean, yeah, he
like
was
say
a
what you want. Yes, he is that nationalist we all hate as a lot of times as libertarians. But I'll take a nationalist over a neoconservative every day.
Sure.
Every day.
I could see that. Yeah.
And then that's the scenario because Kushner is a guy who was tasked with his role was supposed to be to modernize government 2.0, work with Mick Mulvaney on his plan to restructure and modernize government. And then now he's brought in to foreign policy discussions because Trump gave his freaking son-in-law the task of brokering a two-state agreement with Palestine and Israel, which is never going to happen ever, especially by a 35-year-old that has never been in politics. He's literally only there because he's Jewish.
So here's the thing. Let's hit on what Greg just said because I think it's an important view of what's going on. Nationalism versus neoconservatism. Neoconservatism is the Bush worldview, the Cheney worldview, the Paul Wolfowitz worldview.
The last 70 years
of
America.
70 years where Henry Kissinger, and we are the policemen of the world. We are the ones who are supposed to go and give a proportional response.
Or preemptive now.
Or,
like, you know.
Because we have a duty to, as Sam Powers, who was the UN ambassador for Obama, put it, we have a duty to protect the people of the world because we are the greatest superpower. With that comes responsibilities. And, you know, so a neoconservative worldview is us as the world's policemen. Well, we as libertarians see how that has worked out. It has given us 9/11. It has given us the Iraq wars. It has given us Afghanistan. It has given us
trillions and trillions of dollars
in debt. We have anemic militaries all across the world because they expect that we will protect them. You know, we have become the poster children for empire around the world. We have 175, there's like, what, 180 countries, and we have 175 military bases and 175.
Yeah, 183 democracies, you know, like Syria, where he got 99.7% of the last vote.
Right.
we give people targets.
Right.
It's occupation.
And so we have this massive military budget, and we, our main export in the world at this point, besides currency, is weapons. We are the murderers of the world. And when you look at the CIA, is one of the most destructive human organizations in human history. It's one of the most destructive organizations ever. If you really were to sit down with the CIA and pinpoint all of the weapons that it has dealt across the world, a la Charlie Wilson's War, if you've seen that mm-hmm. movie, which you should.
We created the Al-Qaeda in that movie.
Exactly right.
Al-Qaeda means the database.
Right.
Yeah. That was the CIA database that their names were in. And it's like, oh my God.
Right.
As long as they keep dealing good coke, I'm good with
it. Yeah. They're drug dealers, gun runners, yeah. and they do it with an unlimited budget, and they do it in our name. And the world, it's not that they hate our freedom. It's that we are the people arming the people that kill and oppress people around the world.
We play God. We pick leaders and then prop them up.
We are the designers of our own misery. And
not leaders, people who will listen to what we say.
Right.
Right. Yeah, we pick puppets. Yeah.
Puppets.
So at the end of World War II, we were the ones who drew the map along with the British. And
went drunk in Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill, FDR, Stalin got drunk and crafted the Middle East.
At a lunch, just...
Drew lines.
Winston Churchill drew lines. I mean, that's why Syria goes through it.
Sykes-Picot. Sykes-Picot line.
That's why they always protest. They say Sykes-Picot because most people here don't know what that means, but that's what they're always protesting about.
Yeah.
Like in Egypt in Tahrir Square.
It's Sykes-Picot.
Yeah, the Sykes-Picot Treaty.
P-I-C-O-T.
Mm-hmm.
And it is basically the Western world, the powers at the end of World War II, carving up the destinies of other countries. It's like when they gerrymander.
It's playing God.
It's like when they gerrymander lines here in the United States and they put a Republican district on one side of the street and a Democratic district on the other. Well, you're doing that to tribes. It's a very tribal it's a tribal culture there, and we didn't let them define their destiny 80 years ago.
You created the conflict because you put Sunnis right next to Shias and then tell them to build a democracy.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Well, it'll never work in...
When does non-organic democracy work? You know what I mean? Like, they have to want it.
They have to want it. Yeah, absolutely. It comes from inside. It's nothing that you're going to teach, especially people who are... following a religion that's
right
3,000 years old.
And like, I'm not saying Steve Bannon isn't Darth Vader. Like, there's a very good case to be made. Yeah. You know, the guy was a Goldman Sachs, you know, managing partner. Like, the guy, you know, he probably hates, he's probably, you know, he hasn't had anyone killed, but he's talked about it.
Right.
You know, he's considered it. And so, but at the same time, he was a nationalist. He said, what the hell are we doing? Let's fix our bridges. If we're going to spend trillions of dollars, we might as well have awesome bridges and roads, mm-hmm. which I don't love, but I'll take it over getting bogged down again.
Right.
In a situation where there isn't even, like in Afghanistan, Karzai was another one of these Oxford educated, brilliant guys. Yes. And they thought maybe that it would take hold.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no one like that in Syria because that's who Assad is.
Mm-hmm.
He is the British, you know, the Western world version. And yet he goes around gassing his own people when he gets threatened.
And at the end of the day, it's not a country as we like to think about a country. You were talking about villages.
Oh, yeah.
You're talking about crazy different terrains. Yeah. And people who have no idea. I mean,
there's no footage of the attack because they don't have cell phones.
You go watch any documentary on the Middle East over there, and you get up into the hills and everything else, and there's...
It's not much different in Somalia. It's different, absolutely. Different it's tribes and sects. Should we move there as libertarians? Yeah, I think that's our new home. Yeah.
You're telling me that's not
libertarian paradise?
I got a timeshare in Aleppo.
It's a different century. It's not even a different time.
Like you look at like Saudi Arabia, and that's the same way. And, you know, we propped up the Royal House of Saud.
Absolutely.
And that's the thing is, ultimately what this comes down to is at the end of the day, the world's oil is shifting. This is the first time in history the majority of the world's oil has been under Shia ground and not Sunni.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pissing the hell... It's scaring the hell out of people who see that oil's less and less, you know, necessary, and peak oil looks like that was a fraud because of innovations and efficiency.
There's way more...
And so they're scared because they know the only source of control they have to buy is food subsidies for the people that they rule over, and that they're billionaires that can put down any protest. And so when oil shifts under Shia land, that changes the ball game in the Middle East. That's why you're seeing Iran become the dominant region mm-hmm. player. And this is a clash that's coming, and there's no stopping it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no good side or bad side. And because of World War II, we took the people they hate most and gave them a target, and that kept us there that'll keep us there forever.
Right.
Well, that's hopeful.
But no, I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's nice when they're fighting each other and not Israel.
Right.
Because, I mean, when Israel gets attacked, then it's an American problem.
Yep.
When the Sunnis and Shias are fighting each other, that's a Muslim problem. And that's the real danger of Assad falling, is if it becomes al-Nusra Front, and then ISIS brokers an agreement where they... Because those are the two players. They'll control... If Assad falls, they'll control the entire country's land.
Yeah.
And it's predominantly Sunni people who want that caliphate anyway.
Right.
And so then you're looking at now they march toward Israel.
Israel's got a problem.
Which we have a problem.
Mm-hmm. So
we put them there.
How will the Russians do? Will the Russians continue to back Assad? Trump basically said that they're very far apart, and hopefully that Putin will look at the actions of this madman and the killing of children and make a decision. But it's not that simple for Putin and the Russians when it comes to backing Assad, is it?
It's financial interest. There's mm-hmm. no other pipeline. That they are the monopoly on that. And so he knows that you create a Sunni controlled pipeline through Turkey, it's a whole different ballgame, and he loses power at home.
Yeah, he's also losing financial gain from
oil being low.
Going back to Russia, I don't think Putin's looking at it as a war with Russia. It is a Russian-backed war in the Middle East, is what people say. Oh, we're going to war with Russia. Russia's not going to go to war with us.
It's a proxy war.
It'll literally be him funneling guns, weapons, all the money to fight us in the Middle East is what it's going to be. It'll never be a face-to-face.
Well, because why would you go and put American Absolutely. Troops or Russian troops around yeah. a bunch of jihadists and let them unite against you?
It's like, all about,
we hate each other, but man, do we fucking hate you.
Yeah.
Right. It's about protecting his financial interest in the region is all it's about.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a changing world all at the same time. And then we haven't even talked. I mean, then Trump unleashes the biggest goddamn bomb in the history of non-nuclear
today.
Bombs today.
Right.
Taking out ISIS, because that's the primary goal.
Sure.
And you know, Khorasan, where he hit, is land between Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Yeah, it's right on the border there.
And that's where ISIS... So ISIS quote, has unquote. Kind of been getting... Al-Nusra Front, which is now Tahrir al-Sham, has been dominating Syria and growing because they're not, you know, throwing people off of roofs and crucifying people publicly for being out, you know, without a hijab or...
They're being a little more humanitarian.
They're populist.
They're gaining okay. They're providing followers, water. Not taking them.
They're right. the doctors, like, on the ground, like, during these attacks. They're the ones that are, like, they're paying for the doctors to come in and take care of people in these communities. Because they realize, you know, it's like when, why, in Brazil, why they speak Portuguese and not Spanish. Because the Portuguese, you know, gave them gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Spanish tried to, you know...
conquer
them. For you, yeah, conquer them. And so that's the lesson this guy's learning. And the guy's 32 years old. Al-Jilani, their leader, is 32, and he's a former investment banker. He's an associate of Jihadi John. He did an interview with Al Jazeera, speaks fluent English, mm-hmm. like Western educated, comes from a family of financiers. And someone's 32 and been able to successfully rival Assad and create a Sunni uprising is incredible.
I thought all these people were oppressed, though, like, and they were just, they didn't know anything. Well, why would anyone who's,
the people
why
are leading
would an investment
don't.
Banker go back?
Well, I mean, that's the thing is, I don't. That's how much of a true believer he is.
I know.
How do you negotiate right. with
no, that's
somebody
what I was
like that?
To. I was being facetious.
Yeah.
But I mean, think about it. He's 32 years old and he's doing this.
Mm-hmm. He's the Jared that's Kushner of the Middle East.
I have problems with him, and I don't want to talk about him because that's how careers end. You talk about that, like, you know. That's the thing is, I was livid when Kushner became the dominant voice because he's 35. Right. There's no rule, no business. And he's never been in politics or foreign policy. He's literally only on the council because he's Jewish.
Yeah.
And he's married Trump's daughter. And they task him with brokering an agreement, which means clearly he's got people in his ear that are helping him wade through this, which that's the real influence that I don't want. Because that's the influence of the last 70 years.
Yeah, it's not, yeah, it's the same people.
Well, you can tell
who
it is. I mean, just look at the decisions that are being made over the past 2 weeks.
I don't know what
weeks.
You're implying, Tad.
Well, I mean, neocons, let's follow the money.
They're still there. The,
the globalists.
Yeah. Swamp's still full.
Yeah.
Save the show, Greg.
Yes, the
you
globalists.
Said it, not me.
No, the globalists.
The globals!
But that it's funny that that is the really what's happened. The globalists have taken over his foreign policy and worldview.
I know. Within 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever.
And his
whatever
press coverage is through the charts.
Off the,
I have. He's pissed off. He's pissed the fuck off.
What's
saying
in the mic for me? The Jones reaction.
Hug Jared Kushner, Ivanka. Get him out of there! The globalists.
That's Alex Jones.
That's Tad Western doing his best Alex Jones.
Alex Jones. He didn't tear his shirt off. Well, I would be too because this isn't about. It feels like
he's betraying who got him to where he is and what everything he ran on.
And it's just bad decision.
It's listening to the swamp.
The globalists. It's the child-eating, shape-shifting, interdimensional child molesters.
When Hillary Clinton's out there applauding you for...
Oh, yeah. She said I would have done the same thing.
Yeah, and she would have done the first day, you know? Like, what? Like,
and
what
that should be day one. Like, lock him up.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to... Lock Jared Kushner up.
Right.
You know? And now there's no Bannon because now there's he was one. He was the only guy with a personality strong enough to be able to stand in a room with a bunch of people who, you know, said believed he was the Antichrist and awful and just, you know, he's not refined or anything that you should be when you're a, you know, elite DC cocktail party circuit guy. Mm-hmm. And he had the balls to not care because he was rich.
Yep.
He'd been in the elite circles and he didn't like them.
Yep.
And so, and he hated him in Hollywood because he didn't want his kids growing up. He wouldn't let his kids go to the private school in the Jewish neighborhood he lived in too because he didn't want them to be pussies. That's what him and his wife released that on their divorce records. And I like that.
Yeah.
He's like, we're going to public school. I don't want them to be, you know, how they are.
Right. Some grit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now it turns out that's who he got beat by.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's a bad sign for all of us because we can't get provoked because Trump's petty enough. Like, he's just petty enough that if he does get pushed, he'll do like what he did today, which I don't know if someone wants. Mayo, you want to talk about it or Ted?
You talking about Afghanistan? Yeah. So,
I don't know anything about
that
it.
Slight
I read
crater.
The headline, that was it.
So, you know, it's an area. Our U.S. Special Forces have been operating in that area there along the border for a while. I believe an Army Green Beret soldier was killed there. What was it, last week, I think, in that region. So it's a really complex era. Before the show, we were talking about it, and I kind of likened it to Tora Bora, which if you remember from late 2001, early 2002, we thought we'd found bin Laden in that area, and it's a massive cave complex, very difficult to operate in, mined, lots of weapons caches and everything else, lots of hiding spots. So it's a really difficult area for them to operate in. So what they did in 2001 was they dropped the daisy cutters, which we'd used in Vietnam to clear out helicopter landing zones and stuff like that. And it wasn't effective.
Drain the swamp, if you will.
Quote, yeah.
Or what Tad did to sign people. You used the BIC.
So the daisy cutter was a munition that they'd used in Vietnam. It's a bomb. I can't remember the actual weight of that particular bomb. But they drop it out of a cargo airplane, and it would clear out. They called it a daisy cutter because basically the only thing that was tall enough or short enough to live would be daisies. You know, it took out trees and everything else, and they could land tons of helicopters, you know, the whole cavalry.
Yeah,
in
you
there.
Basically create like a landing strip.
Exactly, but, yeah. So they tried to use it in the Tora Bora area there to destroy the cave complex there. And it was ineffective. It didn't have nearly the impact that they thought it would. So 2003, the DOD developed what they're calling the MOAB, which the nickname is the Mother of All Bombs.
Yeah, and it stands for
Massive Ordnance.
Aerial ballistics or something.
It has a blast radius of a mile on all sides.
Yeah, so they're saying it's the most powerful non-nuclear weapon there is right now. Apparently, the Russians have developed something bigger, and it's the first time that it's been deployed. They call it in combat. I don't know if it's combat.
It's been
or
tested
not.
Once.
Yeah, it has.
21,000 tons.
Yeah, there's video of it. It was tested in Eglin Air Force Base, I think, in 2005, and you can find video of it.
It's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, I shouldn't say awesome because it's destroyer of worlds. Yeah.
So they dropped it in this region today to do what they tried to do in 2001. I don't know. I haven't seen or heard what the impact of it was. I mean,
what are you talking about?
Basically, the little boy that was dropped on Hiroshima had 15 tons of dynamite, the equivalent of 15 tons of dynamite. This has 11 tons of dynamite. And it just doesn't have the nuclear activity,
right, exactly.
The nuclear fallout, but it's a massive ordnance. And
yeah,
it costs
takes a mile radius on all sides.
Like $60 million per bomb or something?
It's
$300 million.
Yeah, $300 million. It's, I think, a 21,000-pound bomb. You can only drop it from C-130s or C-17s.
Well, because it's the,
it's
the mother of all bombs.
It is, yeah. And it's
building
not,
the plane
it
is the hard part.
It's not a penetrant. Like, it's not designed to take out bunkers or anything. Like, that's why we didn't really rely on it in Iraq early on. I know we had threatened Saddam with it.
I'm
we kind of used it to flex
it
our muscles.
It
but,
blows up like 10,000 feet or it
yeah,
blows up high,
yeah,
200 feet above
exactly, yeah.
The ground.
So they dropped it.
Out.
My understanding is they dropped it in a valley, in this cave complex here. So would make sense. But like I said, I haven't seen it happen today. So I don't know what the impact. I don't even know how you quantify the
like
damage
the military
in a mountain
would
range,
actually have photos
but,
for sure. But we just they haven't either been
I'm
released.
Oh, I'm sure there were. And the guy's guiding it on and probably got good photos and they'll be on YouTube soon. But.
Right, and like that's the other thing too with Assad is like so. All the intel that I'm talking about, like about it being questionable, could all be false because there's classified info. Because like,
right.
That's what General Mattis said, mm-hmm. was that, you know, it's conclusive Assad did it. So they could have satellite photos mm-hmm. that it's certain.
We're rolling.
We just haven't
been
seen them
published,
right? Which, exactly, which yeah. is always you're, what's on you the have ground, to worry about gotta, because we don't have we don't operate by the same intel, yeah. and telling them would let go of an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Which really, I don't know if I want that advantage. But at the end of the day, like yeah, like I wish there were footage of this thing, but it's been tested once.
Yeah,
and they dropped it in a valley, and it's why Coruscant's important. So Coruscant's important for two reasons. One, Islamic eschatology that. The Greater Coruscant Army is where the end time starts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where, if you see the black flags from the Greater Coruscant Army, follow it no matter what. That is when they march toward Israel and there's, you know, the caliphate becomes global. And that's when the Mahdi returns. But the other reason is so Coruscant, it's debated whether that is an actual terrorist group.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, the Glenn Greenwald wrote a piece that he said, I don't even know if it's useful that the United States is talking about this because it's an it's basically an intergovernmental council between Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and then Al-Nusra Front, and then Boko Haram. You know, basically they are they're all committed like Wahhabists,
mm-hmm.
but they sort of whoever has momentum they go between, and so it's almost a secret inner hidden council that they can't even prove who's in it. but they were supposedly meeting because ISIS has been losing in Syria to the Al-Nusra Front. And so where they've been able to sort of retreat to and realign is in Coruscant, mm-hmm. the historical, you know, the Coruscant, which is Pakistan and Iraq, or sorry, Afghanistan and Pakistan, the border.
Right.
What, northwestern, is that right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yep. Northwestern border.
Northeastern.
Or northeastern border.
Yeah, of Afghanistan.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're talking about an area that hasn't been, Afghanistan hasn't been ruled really, like completely since Alexander the Great.
No.
Like, Karzai controls Kabul, and that's about it.
Right.
And then the Taliban controls the rest. And the Taliban's pledged to ISIS. Like, they are the emirs of the Islamic State in Afghanistan. And so that's why Coruscant plays such an important role, is one, because they prey upon Islamic prophecy, you know, trying to create the end times. And so they specifically chose it. But then also, it is a sort of interdimensional shapeshifters of the various jihadists that meet and organize and carry on back channel communications despite the egos and the posturing between the leaders of those organizations.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact that they would have intel potentially that they were all meeting when it's disputed and they'd use this kind of bomb right. tells me they had really good intel.
No, yeah, I agree.
It's a bomb that you can see and feel and hear in Pakistan too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it sends a signal.
It's a very
it was a statement.
Message, mm-hmm. But the thing about ISIS is, I don't think I'm actually even talking to my microphone. I'm sorry. It's a signal bomb. It's one of those things where
it was designed to give a message.
You can hear and it feel was. That in Afghanistan, Pakistan, and probably India.
Yeah.
But it is. I feel like the thing about ISIS is it's a Chinese finger trap. The bigger you go, the more it feeds their ego and feeds their will to fight you, you know. And so dropping the mother of all bombs, strategically, I hope that they wiped out a lot of ISIS fighters. But at the end of the day...
They didn't. Like, they wiped out an elite inner circle group of people that, despite, like, the conflicts in the... Like, between Zawahiri, Baghdadi,
right.
and Jelani, they... operate in all of them and keep communications open so that in the event they need to, they can coordinate.
Right. But what I'm saying is you can kill them fine, but they don't necessarily respond the way that we respond to
no.
these sorts of signals.
Yeah. They believe the world ends a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly
they're
hell-bent
right. on creating it.
It's such a 20th century, 18th century, 19th century statecraft view of the military that Trump has. Where you send a signal, well, yeah, you'll go in and you'll level the playing field. You'll
a
level
pile Kevin. Of rocks.
Exactly right. Like Germany after World War II. You want to avoid that. These people don't give a shit about that. They don't think about warfare the same way that, you know, the 1940s military movies that Trump has modeled his foreign policy
Patton,
on.
General Patton.
They don't operate in the same mindset. And so... spending $300 million on a bomb and sending a message may make him feel good and be cathartic, but it doesn't necessarily, in my view, do any... It's ineffective.
And if you, I don't know what it gains us strategically. I mean, long term, I don't know. And I've heard a lot of people are thinking this could be a precursor to another surge, Which, again, it was, we're in Afghanistan for, what, 16 years now? I don't know what we're doing there. Like,
we have
protected
and
opium.
Like Chris said, I see the immediate impact of dropping the bomb. If there was a target there and you dropped the bomb and you got, which we don't know yet, but if that was a plan and that happened, you got the target or whatever. But long-term strategy, what are we even doing? I don't know.
We've been there since I've been in high school.
Right.
I celebrated my 15th anniversary. My class anniversary, your 15th is coming up, Greg. I mean, it's long term. It isn't doing us any good except bleeding us money, just like it did the Russians.
We know that lesson. We purposely bled the Russians dry.
We've been dropping drones, hitting them with drones for years. This is just a drone on steroids.
It took out a bunch
of leaders.
It is.
And hopefully, we don't know because these leaders. That's the other thing. We don't know. These leaders are real.
And in 2 weeks, they'll have a new set.
I don't think we're getting away a whole lot from what we had under. You know, the Obama administration, where it's push button warfare.
Although it is a big ass scale.
Now, that's what I say. It's on a grander scale. It's not, you know, a drone here or there. Oops, we killed a couple too many people or whatever.
That wasn't a meeting. That was a wedding.
Oh, yeah. Here's 59
is that an
cruises.
American citizen?
59 Tomahawks, not going to tell anybody. Biggest bomb we've got, not going to, you know, hey, real quick, right in the middle of the mountain range. But so it's on a grander scale, but I would like to think, now I know he can change. I would like to at least believe. You know, President Trump from, you know, the
campaign
Trump, where, you know, we're not going to put boots on the ground, and that was a lot of mistakes.
And he did say to his credit, "I'm going to bomb the shit out of ISIS."
He did.
And boy, did he.
Yeah,
so he fulfilled that damn campaign promise. Yeah, he bombed the shit out of them.
Yeah. So, I think that's what we're seeing is I think we're going to see a lot more of that style warfare where we're going to be bombing the shit out of a lot of things. Now, that's my problem is what's that lead to?
I hope these are one-time demonstrations because we're also – the other thing is, too, this was done with North Korea acting up in a hostile, irritable way that we haven't seen since the revolution.
I was going to say you also have that on the other side
and then
of the
China
world.
Backing them. I mean,
and the meeting with China.
He charmed the shit out of Xi, which
well,
is
he left
to do.
Xi sitting there for an hour and a half while he – while he did
drop the
mob. While he dropped
you're about
the
to hear that we just dropped the largest weapon in the history of mankind that's non-nuclear.
It was the Tomahawks before.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
So the last I heard, China was turning away all of North Korea's trade ships.
They shipped it all back.
Yeah.
And
he charmed them or whatever he offered them worked.
They allegedly have 200,000 troops on the border.
That are pulling pulled back.
Well, here's the thing. China can't afford a massive refugee crisis streaming into their country over their border. And so it is in China's interest to keep their society is so fragile in China that
they're in the middle of a property bust. And they don't have a social welfare state. So everybody bought property and that's where they park their savings.
Right. And so they can't afford to have a million people flooding over into their border and upsetting the culture.
Yeah.
So it is in their interest to make sure that that doesn't happen.
And these aren't regular people either, and these aren't people who even living in the real world.
Culturally, they literally are brainwashed to not be loyal to their parents, just the state.
Yeah.
Defectors don't realize that you should feel bad when your parents
that
die.
Would be the craziest. That's the craziest thing about North Korea is the mental manipulation that goes on there and what people actually believe. I mean, obviously it's gotten better since technology's evolved and the thumb drives and all this shit that's been going on.
Yeah.
They've been smuggling
propaganda. Dennis Rodman.
Yeah. Shit, Dennis Rodman. I was actually friends with a guy who went on a trip with him.
To North Korea?
Yeah, and it was crazy.
Really?
Had to be.
What do you say?
He said Dennis Rodman was drunk as fuck the whole time. I don't know, the documentary that came out, the Vice documentary.
It.
Yeah, like Rodman, I don't know if it's Rodman's Rodman, you know.
The worm, baby. Greatest rebounder of all time.
He told me, I remember messaging with a mutual friend, and he was like, Rodman's shit-faced. In North Korea. I was like, this is not going to end well. This is going to be an international event. Turns out, they made it.
He's a smooth talker.
Everything went well. I mean, I don't think I would be.
I love it because I'll tell you this. Rodman, everyone always thought, was like right on the verge of like always blowing up the Bulls teams. And like, oh, he's going to go on a bender in Vegas and do cocaine. And they're not going to win the title. And every time he showed up, it was relied upon and just did his job.
He's a professional.
When he needs to be on, he might go over there and charm Kim Jong-un and pull this whole thing off, by God.
Apparently they had a great time. Everything went smooth, but I think his sister had just passed away or a family member at that time. I can't remember what was going on.
Didn't he kill his brother?
Who? Robin?
Oh, no, I'm talking about Kim Jong-un. Like, that was right around when he killed his brother or his uncle.
This happened back.
He disappeared.
Shit, this is probably 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
When this happened. The documentary came out, like, I think maybe...
Was it when he was playing in their league? Because they have a professional basketball league.
No, they went over as the... They tried getting the actual Globetrotters goer, but it wasn't... It was some super team they put together.
Yeah.
It's what it was.
A traveling team of international stars.
I remember they were like, nobody wanted to go. Like, they're like, are you fucking crazy?
It's fucking North Korea.
We're going to North Korea. But then, obviously,
I saw that
went.
Team America.
Yeah, I, that was a,
that's what it's
a,
like.
That's a whole other podcast. And North Korea's a whole other podcast, too. But as far as what's going on today.
But I think today was designed. That was designed because the first question Trump got about dropping the MOB was, you know, do you think they took this as a sign? And he said, North Korea is a problem. I can't tell you how they're going to take it, but it's a problem that needs to be handled, it, and we will if we need to. And so I feel like that was almost a set-up softball question from the press to let him essentially deny that it was that was its intent, but it clearly was.
And Trump's a master of PR and manipulating the media and getting what he wants through saying something or doing something. Just look at his entire career of what he does.
Make him dance when he needs you.
Absolutely, and sending a message. Trying to get what he wants. Start high with the negotiation. We'll drop him over
well,
here
that's
in
the thing,
Afghanistan.
Though, is he, now, he, that's the thing, though, is there
he
isn't anything
the
higher.
He has all the tools.
He's used the highest thing he can use without starting a nuclear war.
Yeah, I know. It's
really,
that's,
it's crazy.
That's a little limiting for escalation.
Open your eyes
because
up,
the next
crazy.
Thing is a nuke.
Well, he's that madman theory doesn't seem like a
theory. As long
theory.
As it works.
Well, and I was going to say, I mean, you look at the region he used it in, we don't know. We still don't know what it accomplished, who was killed, what
it
did to the capability.
Or what it was for. No meeting.
So,
there
I mean,
may not have been a meeting.
It
this
could,
may
it,
be fake.
Well, and it could be that it's... It could be the equivalent of dropping that same bomb in the middle of the, you know,
it
Mojave.
Might be a test.
It might not have done anything, it just but it looks cool on camera, you know?
Oh, it's so, scared the shit out of you. It's, a, yeah. it's a, you know, it's... It has a mile blast yeah, radius right. in every direction. Like it wipes the earth clean in a mile.
Or that's there was a village by there, and we just killed more people than they did in the chemical attack.
That's what. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Only 50 people died supposedly yeah. in the attack by Assad.
It was, I think, 70 is what I read.
It's up
to
yeah.
80
yeah.
or something. But
and, but these are on the ground. There's been no UN investigation. These are the white helmets who've they've received funding by the Saudis and who clearly are Sunnis anti-Assad. So mm-hmm. they report. Things yes. that are in their favor. So, I mean, who knows how many he killed if it wasn't a factory that was producing it.
And if you right. watch the videos, too, there's videos of people.
They don't have anything
dead,
on their hands.
Their eyes are closed, and then all of a sudden, like in the background, you'll see them, like, open their eyes and look, and they'll close them again. Like,
well, that's the crisis.
I'm not going full conspiracy card. I don't even know. This video could
have
been
caught
in 2003.
Times, so like,
I'll tell you what
time.
Was really convincing. It's when they had the same actor carrying the same little girl at three of the exact bomb sites. And that actor was at Aurora.
No.
They were at the Aurora shootings. They were at the Boston bombing.
It was Adam Lanza. I knew it.
They've been pushing. No, they've been pushing.
It was Bill Hicks.
Publishing pictures as propaganda forever in that region because
right.
nobody knows the difference. All they do is throw a filter on it, and who knows? I'm just saying it's too soon to even.
Right. There's no. That's the thing is that's what Trump's decision. Either he had conclusive evidence that existed through, you know, satellite intelligence or whatever, or. He made a really, really strong decision for something where it may not have been Bashar al-Assad. And damn.
But I don't think he
cared. That was $60
million. No, he
the 59 missiles we deployed
yeah.
all cost it like a little over $1 million apiece.
So here are the details of what actually happened. The U.S. Navy destroyers launched 59 advanced Block 4 Tomahawk cruise missiles at the cost of $1.41 million each, mm-hmm. targeting aircraft, hardened shelters, fuel storage, munition supplies, air defense, and communication facilities at the El Shariat Air Base located in central Syria. El Shariat was home to two squadrons
you
of Russia.
You just culturally appropriated the shit out of Arabic.
Do you call them the rat?
Yeah.
Shayrat.
The rats.
Shayrat.
Was home to two squadrons of Russian-made Su-22 fighter bombers operated by the Syrian Air Force, one of which was tracked by American radar as taking off from the El Shayrat on the morning of April 4th, 2017, and was overhead Khan Shikun around the time of the alleged chemical attack occurred. Summary, the Trump administration decision to respond to the attack on his own citizens, which is in the rebel-controlled Idlib province of Syria, His decision was based on the violation of its own binding agreement to the Chemical Weapons Convention, which was created and ratified only after Assad deployed sarin gas on his own citizens, allegedly, in 2013, resulting in the death of 1,400 as well as humanitarian grounds. If you've been a listener to, you can go back in the feed and you can listen to the episode that we did right after that attack. We have been covering ISIS and the growth of ISIS and the Syrian conflict throughout the history, throughout this program.
Since the Boston bombing.
And you are really, if you have been in this audience since 2013, you've known about the Black Flags of Khorasan. You've known about ISIS. You've known about the Syrian rebels. You've known the truth about Benghazi, which is that it was a gun-running station for the CIA. And that's why it was attacked. You know about all these things in advance, and so you are not sitting here clueless going, we're no war with Syria. We've been at war with Syria for many years. We have been...
Oh, my God, we've never not been trying to topple or try to part, you know. Like,
absolutely.
We've always tried to... Right. What have we backed, 9 coups since 1960 there? Yeah.
There is a reason that we are sitting at the table across from the Russians in a peace treaty. It is not because we're nice people who want to help our friends, the Syrian rebels. It's because blood is on the hands of the American taxpayer who pays for their government to help murder Syrians. We have been engaged in the conflict. We have been at war, and we are not now all of a sudden. What people are outraged at, people are outraged that we are at war with Syria while Trump is president. And those same people didn't have a problem when Barack Obama was doing it.
No, none whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, John Kerry, you have pictures of him and eating dinner with their wives, Teresa Hines, his wife, and then Asma al-Assad and Bashar al-Assad in Damascus, you know, trying to, you know, facilitate a relationship. But that's what, so I mean, Assad's wily. This guy, there's only 11% of his people, of Shias, in a country surrounded in, after what we did in Iraq, flooded with Sunnis at refugees.
He's going to do desperate things too.
And he, so when this was going on and he realized the United States was going to commit to taking out ISIS, he released the damn leaders that were years of Sunni political dissidents in their prisons. He's like, all right, go have fun.
Yeah.
And he, because he knows that's going to put the heat off of him.
Like
the
Arkham guy is, Asylum style. You know, he constantly go catch the bad guys, Batman.
He constantly does these things. That's what he did. And his dad did the same thing, you know, with the Golan Heights. Like, his dad rose to power in a military coup in 1970, and he was a popular leader. He was a guy that implemented a bunch of economic reforms. It was went from strictly very conservative to very, considerably.
For the region.
Yeah, for the region. Socially liberal, secular, quote-unquote. And he was a guy that was strong enough to consolidate power, but he had to rule with an iron fist. Mm-hmm. He was no... I mean, he grew up in an Alawite village up in the mountains, then went and received his education in Britain, came back, joined the Air Force, rose up the ranks, became basically Secretary of Defense in 1963 in the first coup, and then ended up challenging the guy that named him Secretary of Defense in a failed one in the 66, and then in 70 finally wins. And they've had an ironclad grip on it because they are as ruthless as possible. And you can't not be when you're the tiny majority surrounded by Sunnis who think that you're infidels and that you need to convert because you have your pagan god idols that you worship. It's just, God, I can't even, right. It's so frustrating.
So let's circle back to the false flag conspiracy, because in 2013, we covered it back then. We covered that it was a false flag, that it wasn't necessary. We didn't know who it was. And then evidence came out that it was, in fact, not the Assad regime.
Surprise.
So let's talk about some of the false flags.
Around this,
the alleged chemical weapons attack against Khan Shaikhun was not a
new
reality.
There you go. Look at you.
Thank you. Chemical attacks had been occurring inside Syria on a regular basis, despite the international effort to disarm Syria's chemical weapons capability undertaken in 2013 that played a central role in forestalling American military action at that time. International investigations of these attacks produced mixed results, with some being attributed to the Syrian government, something the Syrian government vehemently denies, and the majority being attributed to anti-regime fighters, in particular those affiliated with the al-Nusra Front and al-Qaeda affiliate. Moreover, there exists a mixed provenance when it comes to chemical weapons usage inside Syria, Why would you? This was written by Greg, so he uses big words like provenance to insult the audience with his intelligence.
No, he meant to put Providence, Rhode Island, it's a city.
Right, gay capital of so when it comes to
you knew that
I did. Yeah,
wait, back.
Why
up.
Would you know that? Why would that be of interest to you?
I have several close.
Out with Seth,
you're not one of those mixers, are you?
Close friends. Moreover, the provenance usage inside Syria that would seem to foreclose any knee jerk reaction that placed the blame for what happened at Khan's Saikun's solely on the Saikun's. That doesn't sound right. On the Syrian government, void of any official investigation. Yet this is precisely what occurred. Some sort of chemical event took place in Khan's place. What is very much in question is who's responsible for the release of the chemical weapons that caused the death of so many civilians. No one disputes the fact that a Syrian Air Force Su-22 fighter bomber conducted a bombing mission against a target in Khan Saikun on the morning of April 4, 2017. The anti-regime activists in Khan, however, have painted a narrative that has the Syrian Air Force dropping chemical bombs on a sleeping civilian population. A critical piece of information that has largely escaped the reporting in the mainstream media, which happens so often.
Fake news.
Well, that's the thing, is they acted like this was just a humble town.
Yeah.
Just honorable people trying to be left alone. You know, it's the operation center
fields.
For the Al-Nusra Front in Tahrir al-Sham.
Meanwhile, it is ground zero for the jihadists who have been at the center of the anti-Assad movement in Syria since 2011. Up until February 2017, Khan was occupied by a pro-ISIS group, oh Lord help me, known as Liwa al-Aska, that was engaged in the oftentimes violent struggle with its competitor organization, Al-Nusra Front, which later morphed into Tahrir al-Sham.
Sham,
but under any name functioning as Al-Qaeda's arm in Syria for resources and political influence among the local population.
Yep. And so that's the thing is, I don't even know. Like, there's no ground investigation. The people that were on the ground are doctors who are financed by Sunni Muslims, anti-Assad resistance. The White Helmets, who are like the Sunni version, supposed to be the Sunni version of the UN.
George Soros funded.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, they're people who train on how to exploit these examples for propaganda purposes to recruit online and have been caught multiple times telling kids to play dead. And so when you look at the video they put out, which is the only video, they don't have gloves on, and they're handling people that supposedly got hit with sarin gas, which one drop, if it touches your skin, is lethal.
Yep.
So you don't just go around touching them with bare hands. You know?
Another report I read was just the sheer numbers of what only 80 dead
in that concentrated
city, and they were supposed to gas the entire city, and no one else showed.
There weren't 25,000 deaths with sarin gas.
Or even close to that. Not even 1,000.
Which makes me think they hit a facility that hadn't been able to manufacture it well.
If that.
Or it could be chlorine gas. But we know, Al Jazeera shows that the Saudis have been manufacturing chlorine agents to give to the Al-Nusra Front to use and make it look like Assad's using chemical. Which one? Why is everyone so passionate about chemical weapons? Spicer got it right. You can't, uh-huh. But I mean, like, that's the thing is, like, we nuked people.
Yeah.
We cooked Japanese. And everyone's worried about,
napalm wasn't pleasant either.
Right. but all of a sudden you turn it into sarin gas and it's, you've committed a war crime that you need to go to the Hague.
It just sounds worse, I think.
It does. Like, it sounds so terrible. It's like, remember Hiroshima and Nagasaki?
Yeah.
But then a week later we dreamt the mother of all bombs. On who knows who. And
yeah,
what.
We don't even know what.
On a pile of rocks.
Yeah. We probably won't even find out.
Yeah.
No, we won't. Because if you hit the target.
There's going
to
be nothing
That was
left.
A private, inner circle you may or may not want to know existed.
How are you going
to
find it?
There'll be pictures of somebody's kids that were in the caves. And
yeah, selfie.
Yeah.
Hashtag MOB.
So a little more.
That's 25 kill streak.
Yeah.
A few more details based on the prep notes that we will, the extensive prep notes that Greg puts together that we post on the every episode moving forward on the serious shows. Like, the last one was a nice conversation with Ed, but this one, research show for you.
Ooh, so, we want to do something good, like not just give you crap.
Yeah, so if you want to...
Because that's all you can get on this, really.
I didn't
do a ton of research.
I didn't think the last episode with Ed was crap.
I mean,
I can't believe you'd say that right to his face. Poor
I didn't
Ed.
Hey, I didn't make him break down lights.
Was there no episode last week?
No. It's out. Yeah.
But I mean, that was one where we were giving opinions.
Like, yeah, I know.
It's hard to get the right facts on this. And sure.
It's what's reported.
There aren't facts yet.
Yeah. So continuing on, and these are more extensive than even what you're hearing in the show. So if you want an addendum, please go check it out at WeAreLibertarians.com. Likewise, why would Russia, which has invested considerable political capital in the disarmament of Syria's chemical weapons capability after 2013, stand by idly while the Syrian Air Force carried out such an attack on a chemical weapons base, especially when there was such a heavy Russian military presence at the base in question at the time of the attack? The person who might get the last laugh is President Assad himself. While the Pentagon has claimed it significantly degraded Al-Shayrat's airbase with 58 of 59 cruise missiles hitting their target, Russia has stated that only 23 cruise missiles impacted the facility, and these only did limited damage. The runway was undamaged, indeed. In the afternoon of April 7th, a Syrian Air Force fighter bomber took off from the base, flew to the Ilyid province, where it attacked Al-Nusra positions from near Khan. There are also
and that isn't fake news. Like that's a flight track. That's
right.
Yeah, that's provable.
They're the documents. Those are the documents.
A couple other things about the attack that may make this a false flag attack that we don't know if it's. And when we say false flag, we're not saying the globalists did it. We're saying that we don't know who did this. We
smoke
can't.
Screen.
And we know that because they have in the past. So we're sure. Giving proper context.
Right. So we're not trying to say that we don't know who did it. And
Assad
not,
very well may have.
He
we
could
just
have.
Don't know.
But there are no images taken of victims at the scene of the attack, which presumably, if you're wagging the dog, those images, like in 2013, were very compelling. Mm-hmm. You know, and the Syrian crisis has had several impactful.
The drowned boy?
The little boy on the beach?
Mm-hmm.
I know that impacted Greg. That impacted Greg in a powerful way, didn't it not?
I shouldn't he's talk so about serious issues. He's like
don't blush, up. Dude. Yeah.
He's speechless right now.
I might have, may or may not have
used
put
him
it in a bag
memes.
Of Chicharitos.
Oh my god,
Chicharitos at Aaron Hewitt's house.
We don't talk about him anymore. He's not a part of this podcast.
I thought you had the Rock giving him the people's elbow.
No, I did David Beckham.
Oh, is that what it was? One or the other.
He's out. Okay, back on topic. Specifically, ex-CIA officer Philip Giraldi insists that the intelligence community and the military personnel know that the intel shows that this was not an Assad attack. Specifically, Giraldi says his sources on the ground in the Middle East, active duty U.S. military and intelligence stationed in the Middle East, intimately familiar with facts, say that the chemical weapons claim is a sham. Giraldi says that his sources are 100% certain that the Syrian Air Force hit a warehouse of rebels connected with Al-Qaeda, which were storing chemicals. He says that the people in the American military and intelligence are freaking out about this because Trump has completely misrepresented the facts regarding what happened.
If our primary goal is to take out ISIS, you wouldn't hit.
Yeah, that serves you no purpose.
You wouldn't help ISIS. You wouldn't hit bases that ISIS is trying to take, weaken their defenses, and allow ISIS then to roll in and take over those positions.
Right. That's what I don't buy about all of this is none of it aligns.
Right.
And the notifying the Russians ahead
beforehand.
Of time, beforehand that you're going
to unless
strike.
You're trying to get the heat off of Russian ties.
Yeah, to me, it's a convoluted mess of nonsense that I can't make sense of without.
The
just
one thing, though,
it,
from Trump's perspective is it was becoming to the point where it's ungovernable.
Did you see his press conference at the White House? Like it was, I think it was on the lawn immediately after the attacks in Syria.
Oh, absolutely.
He was out there and he was completely emotional appeal, killing little babies.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my wife. I said, "We're getting ready to bomb the shit out of him."
Mm-hmm.
No, he did. He played
pissed.
Right
he
into
did.
It.
He did. I mean, it was straight up. It wasn't nearly as eloquent as, you know, Bush post 9/11, but he straight up. They were killing
for
little,
Donald Trump.
They killed little kids. Yeah. I mean, he's got the hands up there.
He went to Mafils.
We are getting ready to fucking.
That's you know, there's such a close.
<waste 'em.
laughs> like him and Arnold Schwarzenegger are so like. Close in the way they say
that. Oh, yeah.
The little babies. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, there's this weird connection.
Children.
There.
I'm talking about
yeah.
children.
And it sounds, babies. It's so like raw and just cringy when you hear it, but
yeah.
it works.
Yep.
I mean, that worked because that's the most presidential he's looked.
Yeah.
Which is terrible because it may or may not have, one, it was totally against our interests.
Mm-hmm. But that's what, and where, that's where all the supporters went. Oh, they were killing little kids. We had to do something.
Oh, yeah. My feet.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Where were you when we killed Anwar al-Awlaki? Yeah. His son was an American citizen in Yemen. But that was Barack Obama. He has a Nobel Peace Prize. He's fine.
Okay. So.
Yeah. So, like, it's really, there's not, you don't have to read through it all. Like, it goes into some Arab news networks that have pictures of Saudi chlorine agents being produced and fed in. It goes into the breakdown of why the video, you know, these people are touching sarin gas victims with bare hands. It goes into a further pictures of the sites. Like, they're very limited in what they allowed you to see. Well, there are a couple people on the ground. They took the images and, like, they didn't edit them down to that specific.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's something where it looks like it was ready to go from the beginning because it was a facility designed for this.
And
like to take and stage the pictures, like almost like a Hollywood
movie. And the
movie
warehouses
set.
Were like completely empty.
Yeah, they're abandoned,
but completely abandoned, but collapsing on themselves. And then,
there were four bombs. Yeah. So three that didn't have agents, and one hit a street, and then I didn't see the impact locations of the others, and then one went through the roof of the warehouse.
But then most of the people looked like they were just beat upside the head, or you know, blood. Like why you got gas? Why
concussion?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, it nothing looked. I don't know. There was some foaming at the mouth, but
yeah, you know, and you know, there may have been a rabid dog over there biting people. You just never can tell.
Talking about third world.
No, but that's the thing. But I'll tell you what really got me was when I felt like Sean Spicer had to defend something he didn't want to, and that's what fucked him over.
Yeah,
because it was him trying to have to sell Assad as worse than Hitler. Because it depended on, you know, generating support for the actions and defending a president. And I don't think he believed that for a second.
Sure.
Yeah. And it turned into a joke.
Hitler didn't even use chemical weapons. Not so fast, my friend.
He kind of created them.
Yeah.
The memes have been great this week.
Just so we're clarifying, are you saying that Hitler, that it was a hoax? Or are you saying that we're just lying about what he used?
And then he replied, are you a classifying globalist? Showers as weapons?
I mean, it was so insensitive and so bad. I thought, oh my God, if he doesn't resign right now, what the hell is he going to do? And then he does the interview on Good Morning America.
Uh-huh.
We're backing. What did he say?
He just said, I felt terrible because we'd had a run of good news. And I thought, what the hell have you been listening to? Well, Gort, you just got rid of the filibuster to get a Supreme Court justice confirmed.
I'm pretty sure he also said, arming the rebel, or instead of disarming the rebels, is what he misspoke.
They just manipulate everyone because no one knows what's going on. Like it's justifiably so. What do you care? Like who does have the time to care about that? Like what difference does it make between the Al Nusra Front and
ISIS?
So we
bombed ISIS,
right? They think you hit Assad. Like, well, he's a Muslim too. We hit ISIS.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah,
you know,
turn it to glass.
Hit one brownie, you hit them all.
80% of people.
Why stop there?
Yeah, well,
couldn't point out Syria on a map.
No. But that's the thing is now it's something where you can't back Assad, which we've never backed him publicly, but we know he's the best option.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think we were trying to go hands off there.
We are. I mean, you have to disavow him, but what else? What's your next?
Right.
You know,
here we are,
the Free Syrian Army, which no one cares about or joins, and they don't win. Mm-hmm. Like they just keep they're literally people that are secular Christians that are anti-Assad for whatever reason. That are fighting with ISIS knowing that they're going to have to live under a caliphate that charges them a tax for existing and probably throw them off of the top of a balcony rather than the Free Syrian Army, who's the secular generals that tried to help the resistance. But there's just no one will join there unless it's religious driven.
So we'll get into the history of the whole, maybe in a future podcast, the history of Syria, the history of the conflict and all the players in a little more detail, but let's wrap up as we're nearing a couple hours here.
We got very serious about Syrians.
We got
damn right. Tadwestern.edu.
He doesn't.
Damn it, Todd.
Tadwestern.com.
No, Tadwestern.com is where you go for all the great content. But if you want to actually learn about Syria, you're Syrian,
it's a very Syrian.
Syrian about Syrians.
It's a very Syrian.
Tadwestern.org.
Dot org.
Yeah,
they shut down edu, but they'd give you org.
.org is actually, you can buy .org.
Okay. Let's talk about
You can start a Tad Western Clinton Global Initiative.
Well, I started on my podcast, I started a Beards for Bushes, not-for-profit.
It's really?
Yeah.
What are you supporting?
Well, you know, people who've gone through chemo, and who want their bushes back. And I am. We are starting a company who are going to weave.
Oh my God!
Pubic toupees.
Yeah, merkins
is what we're getting to. Mm-hmm.
Is
that we'll do landing strips.
Did you spell that?
Yep.
We'll do landing strips. We'll do diamonds. We'll do upside down diamonds. Whatever you want.
I have no idea.
I think it's Murkins, or it's an E. But
that sounds a lot like Merkins.
Back in Ed's day of pornography, they used to give the girls, if they didn't have enough bush, they'd give them Merkins.
You're kidding.
And even now, if you do a period piece, like in Boogie Nights, the girls are wearing Merkins. They're wearing fake pubic hair.
So it's just like a
it's a toupee,
like a tooth floss thong with a bush.
So I didn't come up with this.
Really noble.
I thought Tad invented this.
You're putting a noble spin on it.
Well,
what
no,
you're doing
I
is
like her, to help.
Frankly,
people.
Listen.
It's Tom's shoes for bushes.
Can we all take a moment to
absolutely
just recognize how heroic this is?
Great man.
Brave. He's a humanitarian.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Listen, I love giving back. That's why I give out T-shirts and sign titties, and I do whatever.
Tramp stamps for men.
Anything the fans want.
Man,
I'm here to
people.
Please you. Listen, all Tad's wildest dreams came true in this world.
It is true.
So I'm giving back. I want everyone else's dreams come true.
An urban cowboy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You get a dream.
And
you
a Taurus.
A clitoris.
CLI.
That's
a classic.
You can't just go into any Ford store
joke.
And buy one of those.
Uh-uh. I signed the dash on my other one, and I'm putting it in Barrett Jackson. Not next year, but maybe the year after.
Unbelievable. I love that.
It's still got the
Barrett
window sticker.
Jackson. That's like when Jamie Foxx sold his Ferrari on eBay and did a selfie with it so it would sell.
Listen, Trump sold his Diablo. Yeah.
Did he?
He went for like $96,000 or something, or $106,000 or something.
It's a hot car.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about Trump, how we can view Trump's response. The three ways we can view Trump's response. First, a settled internal feud resulting in shift towards Kushner and old Garhawks.
Which is bad for all of us.
Neocon politics.
Don Rumsfeld conservatives.
Right. Which we don't want. Number two, the internal feud and removal of Steve Bannon from the National Security Council is actually, as the administration claims, overstated.
Which is not the case now because that was written, and now Trump did the interview where he just called him, you know, someone that works for him, and he's his own strategist. So he's clearly he's a fallen angel.
Number three, and finally, the madman theory. What if we are witnessing an administration intentionally script reality television-style feuding and suspense to cultivate an air of unpredictability through the use of, from one of our favorite books, Robert Greene's 50 Laws of Power. I think it's 48 Laws of Power.
They're 48, sorry. Yeah, I was 50 Cent had put out the
50th law. Yeah.
Which is,
damn,
you know,
right.
When you have street cred like me, that's what you read.
You have the canon of war, seduction, and power, and mastery, and then there was the 50th book.
Yeah.
So
when you in the club.
I got the magic stick.
So the madman theory, through the use of the administration's officials whose messages are intentionally in opposition to each other.
Yeah, and that's what I can't get about this administration. You will have two officials, high level, go out and say opposing things all the time.
Right.
Happens all the time.
Oh yeah.
It's like, I don't
generals
know why.
Generals, too. Yeah.
Yeah, they like Mattis will be out there, and then the next thing you know, Trump's saying, no, I'm pissed. Mattis is like, it's not, you know, this was all to plan. There's nothing to worry about. And then Trump's saying, I'll nuke North Korea. I'll do it right now.
Yeah.
I'm dying to do it.
So.
And the madman theory is something from Nixon.
Yeah. Can you explain it a little bit?
One of his staffers claims in his memoirs that Nixon goes, I've got it. I'm going to make the Vietnamese, I'm going to make Ho Chi Minh crazy. I'm going to leak it that I can't wait to hit the button. I can't wait to nuke them. I'm losing my mind, and I'll do anything to keep us out of war, so I'll nuke them right now. And so they let it leak through, you know, back channels and his erratic behavior to keep everybody frozen in suspense. And, you know, it was the biggest innovation really in foreign policy in a long time, because if there ever really is, because Sun Tzu, you know, sort of wrote the book on everything you can do in foreign policy. But
right.
but yeah, so this became a madman theory that you could keep people in place by basically acting like you'd lost your mind. And as long as you had the nuke, everything had, you know, nothing could. That's the global be all end all. You know, Russia and the United States, I think, have what, 90% of all the world's nukes.
Yes.
And they were disavowing to get rid of. Obama was trying to get it down to what? It was like
the START treaty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think there's a very likely scenario where he either is a madman and so you can't distinguish between madman theory and being a madman, or he is intentionally acting one way, then having people on his staff be like, good cop, bad cop. Like, he's the crazy rabid dog, and then, well, you know, sending Tillerson over to negotiate. Or when it's the opposite, when it's favorable to have one of his administration people act, you know, like, well, we're going to pursue regime change, like Tillerson said. Then he goes and he'll meet with President Xi of China and woo him and, you know, pull back the brink of war, scale it all the way back, and it looks like it won't even be a trade war.
Right.
It just seems to be this constant, extreme miscommunication, misdirection, and the end result is everyone's afraid to actually move, especially now that he's acted and shown that it doesn't take much to draw his ire.
Yeah.
I mean, he's spent $360 million in over the course of the week and said, I'm not sure if it's a sign, but I'd think about it, and you're a problem.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's no small expenditure, like $300 million on one bomb, 60 plus on 59, and one was on no evidence, and the other one is on a group which may or may not exist in a valley in an ungoverned part of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not like he goes on a lot. So I'd be pretty scared if I were somebody that's, you know, going to provoke him, or I'd think twice.
There's also the fact that people within the administration could be baiting him on to get what they want to get.
There clearly are.
I mean, that's what I'm looking at. And
I don't know what you're alleging something, but you won't get close to it.
I mean, that's all I'm going to say.
Who specifically?
The global.
Good cover.
I think he can be. I think obviously he can be persuaded. I mean, if somebody sits down with him one-on-one and provides him with enough evidence of this, that, or the other, he's going to act on it.
That's the thing. He either had conclusive evidence or he went on. My God, is that madness or ballsy?
Yeah, so I think he's going to be great fodder for the podcast for the next few years. But
I'm so glad he won, except that we might die.
Oh, yeah.
As long as we don't die.
Lots to talk about.
It's going
to
be some. Hillary would just be so boring. Yeah. She'd be taking naps and falling upstairs and be depressing.
Not even downstairs, upstairs.
Right, like, you know, she can't even walk out of a SUV.
No.
Oh, but she put a jazzy in the White House this week.
I mean, like, everything's controversy. His wife doesn't live with him. His wife lives in New York. Mm-hmm. He's the president. His son has autism, for sure. Goes around wearing New Balances to provoke every liberal in the country.
They can spot each other. That's how he knows.
I took one look at, you know, the dark prince and said, I know that.
Where do you think Professor X came from?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is constant controversy all the free.
Oh, yeah.
Is he going to go to the White House press correspondents' dinner? You know, he said, oh, I may not go.
Yeah.
Whole point is for you to – you're the president. You're the host. You know, nobody wants Mike Pence hosting that.
Right.
It'll be like shitty VeggieTales jokes all night.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it'll be corny Christian jokes. Trust me, I grew up Methodist for 18 years. I know them.
Forcibly Methodist.
Yeah. And then, you know, but that's the thing is there's never freaking a second anymore. Look what happened over the course of a few days.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And there were still other controversies that he had done or didn't do. Or
we didn't even get into the domestic controversies.
I know, but although it is really sad that Steve Bannon is, you know, you don't come back once you've lost. It seems to be in administrations. Oh. I've never seen someone reassert themselves. So it is not good from a foreign policy perspective for any American that he is no longer on the National Security Council, because everyone hated him, but he was the one guy saying, Does it help? You know, is it important to making America great again? Then what the hell are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And, you know, love him or hate him, that's a needed voice that is missing in all of Washington, D.C.
I mean, the conflict button heads is always, I think, good, whether you agree with the side or not. I mean, you need someone to voice that opinion.
He's just a rarity, though. Like, you don't find a Bannon that's willing to combat and he'll get dirty and tough and do what it
takes
to stay in
the room. Especially to a Trump-type figure.
That's the problem is... Yeah. You know, and the press, by making him even playing up greater and greater his influence, it cooked his goose.
Yeah.
Because Trump, you know, the pettiness in Trump wouldn't allow that.
I mean, it started off President Bannon. President Bannon.
Like Dick Cheney. Like
he was pulling, Bush. Had the puppet master.
Except, like, Dick Cheney was Richard Nixon's chief of staff at, like, 31.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Steve Bannon was a television host and owned some rights to Seinfeld and made fun of some Jews once. Yeah. Like, that's the extent of his preparation for D.C.
Well, yeah, and the lessening of like the Roger Stone influence.
Well,
too.
He accused President Obama. Did you see that this week? He accused him of spying on him.
Yeah, I totally believe it. He 100% believe it.
The guy had plutonium in his bloodstream.
Right.
Someone wanted him dead. Yeah, the 68.
Oh, Tad had 69.
The isotope levels.
I had it all on my tongue. And nose.
Roger Stone or the plutonium?
I don't know. Probably both. I don't
Here's
know.
The thing. You got a fake cowboy with a dumb snakeskin hat.
I'm not a fake, goddammit.
He has a ranch.
It's anaconda. I killed it with my bare hand.
In a shirt.
Bowie knife.
In a shirt that is bright green with bright yellow lettering that says Tad Western, and he created his own meme, I think. Did you create this emoji?
He stole emoticons.
No,
he took two and put
them
together.
No, I made it. I made it.
He's
emojime.jp.
He uses this emoticon all the time, and he'll just hit me with it, and I fucking die laughing.
Oh,
it's so...
The person he used to be has been replaced by the character. There is no more...
I
don't even know his real name.
Does anybody call you your original name?
No, no one ever has. I don't have an original name. I told you, when I was born... I used my umbilical cord as a lasso, and I walked on the baptismal water, and they said, "Oh, Tad Western," and that's how I got my name.
It was like when one of those Indian girls is found born with a whole bunch of limbs.
Yeah,
and everybody in the village holds her up.
Yeah, and I rode out on a tornado,
a steed,
and I landed in Hendricks County.
Okay, I want to talk to Tyler for a minute.
Who?
Tyler.
You're gonna have to edit this out.
I've violated the.
I did not. Have any relations with that woman.
Here, get a shot of the shirt, and then Greg will post it up on the Instagram so you can see the shirt. I've got one. Did you give Greg one?
Yeah, I got one. Greg reverse Indian gave and left it at Jeremiah's
house. I can't tell that story on air, but there's a reason why.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Someone was being stalked and was made uncomfortable, so I got called into service to it.
Well, that's, yeah.
That's all right. We're going to edit this out.
His name was Tad Western, and he was making...
Yeah, well, there were 20-year-old blondes there, and he he takes a liking to them.
Oh, I don't just take a liking. I pretty much take everything.
He gets that umbilical cord out and starts lassoing.
All right, this is comedy, just so everybody knows it's comedy.
Everybody knows.
Now,
no, he didn't lasso a girl with his umbilical cord
like,
26 years later.
Does anybody call you Tyler anymore?
My grandmother.
Okay.
Every once in a while.
Here's the funny
thing. Most people call me by my actual last name, but they don't, like...
Yeah.
Even now, the whole bit started, I was shit-faced, hammered, and broad ripple, and I woke up the next morning, and lo and behold, I had changed my name.
Tad Western.
On every social media platform.
Everything.
I have no idea why. And the next thing you know, I'm like, fuck it, let's roll with it. So I went and bought a hat, and God damn it, I made t-shirts, and next thing you know...
I know, you just...
I had 1.2 million downloads in Turkey.
Well, I had that back when I was DJ Weasel. That's my rap moniker. You guys think this is new.
I love that...
I'm like Puff Daddy of the Midwest.
You just made yourself Tad Western, and we're all going with it, and we have for several months now.
You gotta go with it. You gotta roll with it. If you don't roll with it, you're going to get ran over. That's all I'm
going to say. Oh, good times. Good times.
So. Keep them holstered. Ready for a shootout. I tried putting that on the back, but they wanted like $12 extra. I was like, fuck that.
Tad will just write it on there with this goddamn Sharpie.
I said, yeah, and I'll charge you $70 more when I sell them.
You know, in the old days, I just shot you dead right here.
I told somebody that at Waffle House one time.
Waffle House?
Yeah, she said, we're out of syrup. I said, ooh.
Oh, buddy.
Like, I knew it had taken over the identity when you wore that. Where were we? At Jeff and Caitlin's party.
Yeah.
When you went to a party where you didn't know a soul and you still rocked that hat and were in character, I was like, oh, my
He's
God.
He's never not in character. I've never.
He is the character.
I haven't seen him not in character in months.
Do you know... I've been battling with inner demons. When I sit down at a bar and people ask me, because a lot of places they like to be like, we're friendly here, so what's your name? Because I go to Texas Roadhouse, wherever.
In the hat,
they'll ask you for the name you put on the tag.
Coachman in Plainfield.
Coachman, wherever. Well, they know me there. I'm a regular. But even Larry, or when good. I meet people, you know, they're like, I'm always hesitant. I'm like, what should I tell this guy? Because I don't know where this conversation's going.
Yeah.
And I'm always just like, I'm Tad. Fuck it.
Do you really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I saw my credit checks, Tad Western.
That's a lie. Tad Western?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
If you
How
don't
do you think
change...
I'm so good at making fucking signatures?
That's a good point. I'm going to start signing all my credit
cards. You can't
Tad
tell.
Well, no,
the,
I, yeah, yeah.
TW
no,
is the
yeah.
initials. And then
no,
just scribbles.
I mean, it's pretty much.
You know, like famous people that go to hotels and they have their own, they have like a fake name that they always use. So, like, if somebody calls the hotel and they, you know, they call for Sabrina Donaldson, they know that they're going to get Britney Spears.
Yeah.
You know, like, Tad's real name is his fake name now.
It is, there is.
That's what's happened.
It's dead. People He's dead.
Like, no, I, well, I died in that car wreck.
That's true.
I seriously think I had a concussion.
It's like when a butterfly, or, yeah, when it gets in a cocoon and then it.
Well, we
you know,
talked
sheds.
About this in my
yeah,
podcast.
Metamorphosis.
Yeah, I spread my wings and I flew
beautiful
away
butterfly.
In my sweet snakeskin hat.
Do you what do you hell? Actually shed yearly?
I shed.
Did your hat shed?
You know what? I just found out these popping videos on YouTube. Have you guys seen
like the zip popping videos?
And, like,
yeah,
white heads and shit.
Love it.
Tad Western is like the greasiest man alive. Like, I could bottle my grease and probably sell it for a premium.
Well, you're very swarthy. You got a very dark complexion.
I am going to start a Tad Western popping channel where all I do is just pop blackheads. But for a premium, it's going to be a pay-for-play
site. He's got
site.
A paywall on his zits.
Yeah. And I will pop whatever zit you want on my nose, on my cheek, whatever. I'm not going to
pop somebody like, else's zit for
No, no, no. This
hire?
Is only on me. Yeah, well, I will, yeah, I'll do
well,
anything.
Well, let's say
cash.
He's got a juicy back zit.
And oh,
he,
yeah.
It's so big that if when he just squeezes his shoulder blades together, it just bursts.
That's fucking gross.
See, we'll video for
because
it.
Because I'm
that
on
is
test
so
boost.
Disgusting.
I had Greg, I had one on my belly the other day.
Oh, God.
Like this big shoulder one.
And I could see it had like a little white head, and I was running late for work, but it was like kind of painful because my belly's tight because of all the visceral fat. And so I just like, I was like, so I took the razor blade and I just kind of cut.
Razor blade?
Cut open the top.
Is that what the X-Acto knife was doing on the table?
No, that's
oh, I hope not.
Opener.
I touched that.
No,
that's
I got
why
it.
There's plastic sheets over this. He lays yeah. here and he cuts himself.
And so I just cut, sliced open so a little
disgusting.
Bit of the top and it just kind of
oozed out.
It oozed out a little bit, but I could tell there was a lot in there, so I squeezed the shit out of it and it burst all over my mirror.
Is there not a.
It was so great.
Is there not a market, though, to like. Pluck blackheads.
Oh, there is. People watch that. People watch the cyst cutting.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
My wife does.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch it all day long.
I'm judging, Renee. Yeah. I am
let her
fucking
know.
Judging.
Let her know. It grosses me the fuck out.
That is the sickest fetish ever.
You pay me enough money, you can come over and
do it. It's not a fetish. I don't get hard.
If it exists, it's a fetish. Rule 34.
Somebody's masturbating to it. You're right, but I'm not one of them.
It wasn't the intent.
Right. I am not
one of them. Like this podcast.
Yeah. I intended this to happen.
I don't know, but if the fans want the pay site for me to pop my blackheads, I will do it. Because sometimes I'll get the little squiggly one, I'll pop
God.
On my nose, and I swear to God, it'll be like 9 inches long. I'll be like, it'll get caught my eyelash. That's how long it is.
Honestly,
and I'm like, how am I that dirty? I shower like 4 times a day.
So like, Ed, I want you to kind of look over here. So like, did you guys ever notice that Ed looks like Chairman Mao? A little bit.
Chairman Mao.
He's got a little Chairman Mao in him.
Now that you said it.
If you go check out our Instagram, we've got a photo of intern Ed up there, and he looks a little bit like Chairman Mao.
You know what? I see
it
right
now. Have
you
ever been told you look Chinese before? He's very not Chinese, but he's got a Chairman Mao thing going on. I don't know.
How do we go from blackheads to Chairman Mao?
It's this podcast, man. If I ever had the balls, what I would do is one of my favorite games to play is this guy looks like. Like, Ed, I'm sitting here and I go, you look like Chairman Mao. And people will either, like Mayo, go, I see it. Or people like Greg, like, what the fuck are you talking
about? That was my intolerance.
No, I can see the resemblance. Is just, man, what a shitty comparison. Like, you know, a communist genocidal dictator. Like, hey, anyone ever tell you look like that guy that was a great man?
that was my entire college career. Was just making fun of people. In class.
Yeah, you know, you want to be like, oh yeah, it's good. No, not you. You know,
I was getting my tires done the other day, and Bill Gates was sitting in there. And like, what I would, if I had any hair on my ass, I would walk over there and I would take a photo with him and post it, and I would say, I met Bill Gates today. Because at least once a day, I could see someone where I'd walk up to them and go, you look like a celebrity.
Uh-huh. See, you're doing it the wrong way, though. We would always be like. Oh, you look like Down Syndrome John Mayer. We'd always just try to go to the extreme. Because even if they just had a hint and then you threw in some disease or something, oh, you look like a malnutrition, you know, Oprah.
Right.
And then people would be like, oh, shit, that's hilarious.
You look like AIDS Skrillex.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it sticks. Because it doesn't mean jack shit, and they just kind of, just the smallest resemblance, and they'll be like, oh, maybe they did have a fucking disease. Anyway.
All right. We should,
you look like AIDS Skrillex.
Excuse me, sir. That's my you like Skrillex with AIDS.
Sorry, but AIDS Skrillex and Carl the Cuck.
Do not talk to me or my wife's son ever again.
the greatest
you're
internet.
You're a fucking white male.
Yeah. God, those are the best. And then Richard Spencer getting hit in the face and someone capturing it, like impact, right when it happened.
I love the internet.
I do too. I swear to God, Trump in the truck. That was my. I was happier about that than the semi. I was happier about Trump in the semi and all the things it could be applied to. Like, you know, I couldn't wait to Trump and then Carl the Cuck. Like, just driving over Carl the Cuck.
When they had Trump in one of the, you know, like the little Fisher Price cars that we've all had, the big yellow and red ones.
Yeah.
And he's in it. I'd fucking died.
I mean, I'm so happy he's the president because this shit happens daily. Like, you don't know what's going to happen because he might just find a semi truck, jump in it, and act like he's running over globalists. Yeah. Like, it was amazing.
And now that the alt-right is falling out of love with Trump, it's going to get even better.
Well, I mean, you know.
Well, we talked about this. It was never technically alt-right. They were just libertarians pushing shit to the limit, being shitlords on the
because they were, right. They, well, I mean, it was meme magic. It was
it was
we
real.
Did awaken a long dormant Egyptian frog god and
but,
create
but
the president.
But you realize the name of it. They were pretty much libertarian to begin with, and then all of a sudden it just turned into.
Well, it just became funny.
Yeah, I know. And they pushed everything to the edge.
What will he do next? But they'll jump in a semi.
I feel like I have to give a shout out to Beards for Bushes after the conversation we just had. If you're a cancer survivor who needs a pubic toupee, beardsforbushes.org.
No limit on design.
No, we'll do anything
or length.
Will
you do a Serena Williams?
We will do everything, but we will do everything but ginger pubes because those are like the Irish. They buy
expensive.
All those up, yeah, and they make. They turn into Lucky Charms, I hear. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
All right, give us the pitch one more time just so everybody gets it.
What, Beards for Bushes?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, followers, listeners. I need you to go to beardsforbushes.org. It's my new non-for-profit. We build toupees.
All right. Hold on.
What part do I need to go to?
Toupees. Start there.
We make toupees for cancer survivors who have chemo and want their bushes back. So check out beardsforbushes.org.
That's so stupid. You're stupid. You're just a big...
My uncle who makes moonshine
you're
called me.
You're a big stupid
like,
idiot.
I just had the sweetest idea ever for Tad Talk.
Did Uncle Max contact you from the grave?
No, not Max. He was Tony
through the
Stewart
Ouija board?
No, it was my uncle.
Tony Stewart fan.
Yeah. I forgot
he was buried in a Tony Stewart sweatshirt without a hood. Oh.
No, it wasn't a
and
hoodie.
Gray sweatpants that were banded at the ankle.
But not
really?
Like a Tony Stewart, not a NASCAR, but a actual sprint car shirt.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he's hardcore then.
Oh,
he buried it.
Oh, man. You saw the hat collection.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about unmolested 1994 kickoff Daytona.
Trump, like the Trump
or not
style
Daytona,
string
but
hats.
Brickyard
yeah.
hats.
Yeah.
Brickyard
flat build, yeah. like.
Old
yeah.
school style.
Right. I mean, he keeps his ashes on the mantle.
It's true.
In a bag or in green boxes.
Yeah.
Uncle nice. Max, Grandpappy Western, and Grandmammy Western.
We're going to spread the Western, or we're going to spread the ashes this fall.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's asking me, like, he daily does that. Like, yeah, he likes to, you know, when he gets his cocaine out, he tosses a little bit in there and mixes
you know,
it up.
It's good for me.
Good
yeah. That way I'm not getting all the coke.
Yeah.
You know?
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Yeah. Makes sense.
It's a good time.
Well, we got serious about the Syrians, and
what
now
the
we're
hell
beards.
What were we talking about before I had to.
Something about you're not for profit for that, fake beer or bushes.
It's not fake. No, there it's toupees, but
that's kind of sicker that it's real human hair.
Yeah, but it's beard. You know, it's beard hair.
Yeah, repurposing.
Everybody's gonna. It. Yeah.
I mean, who's gonna
it's
grow?
Got an, it's a niche market.
Actually, you're gonna have to like target hipsters because they're the only ones that let their beards get that long.
No, but they also have big hearts.
Yeah, it's good.
They virtue yeah. signal.
All right, kids, let's start wrapping up. Final thoughts for this episode, Intern Ed.
I don't know. Well, I did kind of do a pivot. I now am on the social media team for the
Indiana Libertarian Party.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you.
Have you heard what you're doing wrong yet?
No, actually, anytime now. Yeah,
what's your Twitter account?
There's a frame with a real supportive, and all of a sudden it's, what did you do, you
check
dumb
your
shit.
Yep. Yep. There's a post about you in a group somewhere.
Yeah, somebody's bitching about you.
That's true, it's very petty.
And tell you,
it's passive aggressive.
Yeah.
You didn't do anything wrong, but if you wanted to do it right, it would look like this.
It sounded a lot like Brett right there.
Yeah. Somebody.
I swear to God.
70% of what he said, it
I'm
starts out
saying.
With. Somebody, yeah. Or guess who just got promoted to something?
Yeah.
The answer to guess who is always Brett Bittner.
Yeah.
Some of us win elections.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Ed.
Thank you.
We take full credit for your success.
I feel sorry for you already.
Yes.
With your new responsibility.
Tad Western.
Howdy. I'd like to thank everyone for listening and putting up my bullshit.
Somebody Googling Mark Edge or whatever, some fake account, tweeted at me, does Chris Spangle really think that this Tad Western bit is funny? And the answer is yes.
It is funny.
Because I love Andy Kaufman.
It's not a goddamn bit, number one. It's my fucking life.
Excuse me.
And I live it. But, I mean, it's a bit when I do it on the show. You know, I act stupid and I say stupid stuff.
It's real. It's just embellished when you're in character.
Yeah, I just, listen, I play it up for the audience because I know they don't like listening to Greg talk about all these towns in Syria.
They're not as serious about Syrians
they're
as
not,
the Tad Western listeners.
And Greg actually got his degree in Syrians from Tad Western.
PhD.
You actually teach there now.
I'm a doctorate of Syrians from tedwestern.edu.
And if you go to the website and type in Sirius for Syrians, Tad, 414, happy birthday. That's the promo code to get a free online session with Greg Lenz as your professor.
A serious Syrians coach.
Unfortunately, he will be masturbating for you.
I like my free speech and free masturbation. My university.
I never teach about masturbating. I'll never deliver a lecture without masturbating.
No, but
it's how I get into, you know, it's how I make sure I do a good job.
I love the listeners. I love everyone who puts up with We Are Libertarians.
The Taddocks.
I appreciate all the Taddocks who follow me around and want me to sign their titties and butt cracks and everything else. Guys and girls. I sign man tits. I don't care. I've got a fresh Sharpie on my hat wherever I go.
Got the Bic ready to go.
Isn't that amazing?
That's great.
The level of planning that requires. I'm just so blown away by that.
I keep the Bic under the hat.
It's thoughtful.
I try to keep a fish under there just in case I, you know, go noodling in any random aquarium, you know. But
Indianapolis Children's Museum. Uh-huh. Next thing you know, Tad's in there.
Shit, I'll throw another one in.
Trying to lasso a fish with his umbilical cord.
Sometimes I do stupid shit and I like to make up for it, all right? But, you know.
Ridiculous.
I just love everyone, all the listeners, and tadwestern.com, obviously, and the Tad Talk podcast, which there's an episode out right now. You can go check it out. Tad Talk 12. I think I'm going to skip 13, though, because
good call.
13's luck. Unlucky number, and I have a lot of Asian listeners, and I know they don't like stopping on the 13th floor.
I was trying to drink water.
How do you know that?
What do you mean, how do I know that?
Metrics.
Isn't it 7? Yeah. Isn't it 5 or 7? It's not 13.
No, it's 13. And
intern Ed, you're Chinese, apparently.
No, that intern Mao. Chairman Mao, what do you have to say about the 13?
I have
no idea. I'm 100% right. Just go ahead and say it.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
Also, all my videos are in widescreen for my Asian audience.
Next.
Well.
Mayo.
Thank you. Thank you all.
Mayo. Hurry.
I want to thank Mayo
why
for coming
have,
on with.
Yeah, why do I have to follow that?
No,
so,
Mayo.
Tad's inspired me, though. So I was
widescreen.
Stop. Let's pretend it didn't happen. Move along.
Widescreen.
You're talking about the Jews earlier.
I know.
That's okay.
And I was eating hummus, okay?
It's all right. Their ears are squinty. They
that's
can't
okay
hear it.
Because the press secretary did too. So it's all right. Yeah, it's fair game now.
Oh,
yeah.
That was a current event.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It just, you know, so, he was first to the law as following, you know, you can't splice the spice.
I didn't realize there was an Asian nerd to be.
God. It was a great meme that I posted. It was something Pepsi. And then United Airlines.
So shook.
Anyways, go ahead, Chris.
United Airlines, the Southwest. We won't
We beat our competition,
yeah.
Not you.
Yeah, we beat our competition, not you. That's a great meme.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, here's what it was. It was Lance Bradley, Lance underscore Bradley on Twitter. Pepsi, that was the biggest PR blunder of the week. Year, maybe. United, hold my beer.
Yeah.
There's so many good ones.
Sean Spicer, Leroy Jenkins. Good shit. Oh my God. That's a good tweet.
There's so many good ones. So I work in commercial aviation, and we'll be sitting at a real serious high-level meeting in like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sending memes to everybody at the table of United shit.
Oh my God.
It's good.
That's a godsend. Their stock only went down a little.
I got so many of them on my phone right now.
My God.
But no, I was just going to say, Tad inspired me, so I was going to do my weekly trim tomorrow, but I think I'm going to grow it out a little bit.
Are you going to donate?
You want it in a Ziploc bag, or what do I do?
Okay. You want to do it. Just mail it in.
Yeah, how do you collect the beard trimmings?
Skull cans.
How do you collect anything? Just wipe your hands in trash bags.
Wipe them out of the sink.
Skull can. Actually, if you want to donate,
you want
skull
the toilet
cans.
Paper that was slightly wetted I used to pick them up off the inside of the sink bowl?
Listen, we will make pubes out of anything.
All right.
If you want to shave your dog, cat, want a hamster...
Listen,
it's beard hair.
If you can find an old 1990s Harry Grant skull can from Harry Gant, the old NASCAR driver, that would be best. Because then Tad's getting a gift. He's getting the gift of the skull can.
This isn't for me, people. This is for
bush. Doesn't need a bush.
You need to be thanked for what you're doing for these ladies.
I appreciate that. Ladies, it's for men, too.
Oh, good. Okay.
Very progressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you going to read some of those memes?
Oh, you want me to? I've
never seen a couple.
So the one I just showed Greg, it's has a picture of the Malaysia Airlines.
Oh, no.
It says, we may lose the entire plane, but at least you'll know you'll have a seat.
too soon.
You love that because that used to be one of my favorite things to say to buddy's wives is, I wish you had been on that Malaysian plane.
Wow.
Just as a joke.
Oh, God. Yeah. Greg.
Acquired taste.
Traumatic for women, usually.
Yeah.
Guys can take it because we're used to it, but women, not so much.
Yeah. They're not used to the truth.
No.
And I'm a truth teller like Alex Jones.
I'm a truth teller.
I'm a soothsayer is I think what the word he was looking for.
The Larry Daniels Snapchat filter is back. So there may be an appearance from Larry Daniels. Oh,
thank God.
True
American.
Very soon.
The world has been awaiting.
I need my hat back. I borrowed it to, I actually loaned my hat to a Middle Eastern friend of mine and he's not giving it back.
A Middle Eastern friend?
Yeah. I have one.
Why?
I don't know, but things are very
it's a little
tense.
Too serious about Syrians.
go ahead.
I was going to say, mine is, I guess not, there's been a lot of people are upset at Glenn Jacobs, Kane, the former wrestler, is running as a Republican, even though he's a libertarian in Tennessee. And it's like, it's become a tribal thing. Like, you know, they're pissed that he's not running as a libertarian. And to my knowledge, we don't have access in Tennessee, do we?
Correct.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's not a big deal. But everyone's upset about it. Everybody's got an opinion and yada, yada, yada. But I would just caution people, like, it doesn't matter which party it comes in.
Amen.
You know, just accept it. I read a great line by Oliver Wendell Holmes, and it was when he was a former Supreme Court justice. He was asked to describe a fanatic. And he said, a fanatic would say, for example, that when someone builds their home, that they own the air directly above the home, where they're specifically under their roof, and that's no further. And a fanatic would say it is totally fine for a neighbor to build a home next door, extend their roof directly 1 inch over their neighbor's roof, and then claim that any time they wanted to look up at the sky, I charged them a fee. And that's the point, is technically he's right. Technically, if that is what your belief is, you are right. And that's the problem I see with a lot of the way libertarians interact online, is they interact as fanatics. And Justice Holmes also said that, you know, a good test of whether something's true is how much effort it takes getting it accepted in the marketplace of ideas. And that could not be further from the truth with a lot of libertarianisms. We come off as both fanatic, debating even the finest of minutia when it's detrimental, as well as we fight like hell to get people to accept things that we believe to be true and counterproductively as well, like voluntary exchange and these things. And we never stop. And it gets just so annoying because we'll even turn things that aren't designed to be political into political debates, mm-hmm. or pointing out the one exception, or, you know, trying to disprove things. And just stop that, because we don't need to be fanatics. there's no reason to. Things are trending in our way. It doesn't matter which party you're in. You should want to support people who represent the beliefs you have, not the party you're a member of. And just stop it. I'm tired of seeing a party that prided itself on not being like the other political parties behaving exactly like it.
Mm-hmm. All right. For my part, I want to congratulate Lions of Liberty. Lions of Liberty listeners built a house for a homeless woman. They had someone on from Donor C, and they helped build a house for a woman from Malawi. And so that's very cool. Our friends over at Lions of Liberty, we really congratulate you. And so We Are Libertarians listeners, Lions of Liberty is building people houses. So we got to, maybe we'll do something charitable.
No.
Okay. All right.
That wouldn't be libertarian at all.
We are building pube toupees.
If you shared your toys, I don't want you to listen.
Yeah, just donate to Tad.
Yeah.
That is true. Thank you. We're forget houses. We're beards for bushes.
We're building bushes. My God, we're building fake bushes all over this country.
We're bringing crabs back one pube at a time.
Yeah. Making crabs great again.
Tad, are you on Bumble right now?
Goddamn right I am.
He's literally on Bumble.
I updated my status that I'm a soothsayer or a truth
a soothsayer.
Soothsayer.
All right, maybe two hard.
I've only had three. That's a few.
Oh boy. There's a left swipe. I'm on the Bumble too myself.
What's his
what
name?
What is going on here?
Yeah.
Are we? Oh, remember when we gave love life advice last time?
From that guy.
Do we have any advice?
Should we end with
user questions?
Jackie, no, thank you.
Why are you judging so hard?
Why are we doing this on the air?
Looks like a female Bittner. All right. So
did you just assume Bittner's gender?
Pre weight loss.
I have to share with you something that Tad said that about made me cry.
We need you guys to
a whole movement he has planned.
We need you guys to write in letters. Listen, you need advice. We have answers. We have experts like Tad Western, Jeremiah Morrill, James Neese,
Chairman Mao,
Miranda
Barnett,
Chairman
Mao now,
Craig Lenz. We'll tell you how things work in this world. So tune in. Please send us notes at editor@wearelibertarians.com. Thank you so much for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Thank you for listening to the We Are Libertarians Network. Get our other shows at WeAreLibertarians.com.